on. Hit into right field. It will drop in front of the right fielder. One run will come in to score. Brown down to first. One in. Keep them loaded. Just one out.
Now we send it to the field to our regional radio broadcast team.
Good evening and welcome to the Class 2 State Quarterfinal Baseball Action on AM 800 KREI. I'm Kevin Hughes alongside Matt Greenwood, live from South Pemiscot High School, Bishop Field in Steele, Missouri, as the St. Vincent Indians travel down from Perryville to take on the host team, South Pemiscot Bulldogs. St. Vincent enters the quarterfinals with a 12-10 overall record, including a 15-5 versus Van Far in the sectional round victory, which saw the Indians explode in the fifth and sixth innings for a combined 14 runs to end the game in six innings to advance. South Pemiscot arrives at the quarterfinals with a 15-7 overall record. After a Jekyll and Hyde pair of games, the Bulldogs claim its first district championship under the tenure of head coach Jason House in a crazy 19-15 win over Campbell, and followed up with a 3-2 victory against a tough Van Buren team. The weather, it's in the lower 60s, and it's been windy and rainy so far. We'll see if the weather will hold up, but the game will continue on, and we'll continue our pregame coverage with the head coaches of both teams coming up on AM 800 KREI.
Don't miss the 47th Annual Jefferson County IPRA Rodeo.
Go ahead and do South Pemiscot first,
refreshments,
please.
And music by Phil Vandal both nights. Gates open at 5 p.m. each night, and the rodeo action is at 7. Advance tickets are just $8 for adults, $5 for kids, and 5 and under are free. That's the 47th Annual Jefferson County IPRA Rodeo, June 9th and 10th, at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Hillsboro. For more information, plus discount and advance ticket locations, visit jeffersoncountyfair.net. See you June 9th and 10th at the IPRA Rodeo in Hillsboro.
And welcome back to the pregame show of this Class 2 State Quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI. We're now joined by the head coach of South Pemiscot, Mr. Jason House. And coach, how's it feel to be in the state quarterfinals?
I'm going to say this, you know, this is the first time for me as a head coach, and it's a great feeling. It's a feeling like no other.
And getting here, you guys beat a very tough Van Buren team 3-2. How do you feel like you can carry that momentum forward into today's game?
I think whenever kids get to this situation, there's not a whole lot of motivation you have to do. They kind of take up on that themselves. And, I've been talking to them on and off throughout the day. You know, we've come in early and hit and try to do everything we can to prepare for this day. And they're very excited. And I'm just glad to be here. And these guys, they got what it takes. And I just tell them, you guys have the wheel. You just got to go out there and execute.
Have you sensed that their mentality today has been in the right place?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something that I felt like we've been pretty high on. Ever since we won the districts, is guys come out and they're wanting to work and wanting to do extra things. And I think once you get to that point, and that's something that I've tried to do all years, try to get them to come out and do extra things. And we've finally got to that point, and I think that's going to be a big thing for us.
And coach, you told us before we started this interview you're going with Riley Kane today. What are some of his strengths on the mound for you?
He's got a good fastball and got some good off-speed stuff. And I think he may not be, one of the best pitchers as far as actually hitting spots, but the thing about him is he's so mentally tough, and he's just, whenever he gets determined, he can do big things for us, and it's shown, with I thought Damesworth was going to be my guy to throw the championship. We went through the conference, and I had Kane come in and pitch a championship game in the conference, and he won it for us. And same thing, which Damesworth got in a little bit of trouble in the semifinals of the district, and then we ended up having to bring Kane in, and he kind of held him down, and he does a lot of good things for us, offensively and defensively.
Coach, the weather is becoming a story today. Windy, possibly rainy. How do you feel like that's going to affect your team?
I mean, it goes back to, what we've been talking about. I think they're excited to be here. And one thing I always tell guys is, you can't, when we play a sport outside, you can't allow Mother Nature to affect the way you play. And we've been in these situations before, and so I don't think it's nothing new. You fight Mother Nature all season long, and whether it's cold, whether it's hot, raining or snow. You know, those are things we battle with, and so I don't think it's nothing new for us. It's just, you know, go out and compete one pitch at a time and have fun.
And finally, Coach, when you're preparing for a team like St. Vincent who are unfamiliar with each other, what are some of the key things you're going to focus on to be able to come out with the victory today?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like I said, just, you know, focus one pitch at a time and handle the baseball, take care of things. And, you know, I've called around a few people, like I'm sure they've probably done the same thing on us. And, you know, you try to get as much as you can going into the game and try to get that heads on them, and which, you know, they may have got better information than I did. I don't know. But, you know, it'll tell out here when we get started.
That's Jason House, head coach of South Pemiscot. First pitch coming up on AM 800 KREI, weather permitting, hopefully.
To put your business out in front with great-looking signs, banners, and vehicle advertising, call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
Signs say so much about your business. To give that perfect first impression with a great sign, call Main Street Signs today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
Game coverage on AM 800 KREI of the state quarterfinals, now joined by the head coach of St. Vincent, Mr. Tyler Search. And coach, you're riding a four-game winning streak. You had an amazing, or phenomenal, however you want to say it, whatever hyperbolic adjective you want to use for the last two innings, that fifth and sixth inning in the sectionals. Do you feel like you're going to be able to carry that momentum over into this game?
I sure hope so. You know, with the long drive, you know, I hope that doesn't really affect our guys. I don't think it will. Once they get out there, they'll just kind of feed off that momentum, and that they'll be motivated, I'm sure. So I think they're ready to go.
And, of course, the highlight of that previous game that we mentioned was the fifth and sixth inning on the offensive output, scoring 14 runs in two innings. Is that something you guys worked on the off day, or are you going to approach it today and try to replicate that success?
Right. I would just say quality at bats. You know, that's been our focus throughout, is just having quality at bats. Let the game come to you. You know, put the ball in play. Focus on that first, and then the rest will come with that.
So. And then, coach, last game you pulled Munier a little early once the game seemed to be a little more in y'all's control. Are you starting with him today?
Yes. Yep. It's pretty difficult for me not to give him the ball today. He's earned it. He's a competitor. He's a bulldog, whatever word you want to use. But kid just goes out there and he competes, and he'll be ready to go today. There's no doubt in my mind.
You feel like that he got plenty of rest heading into towards today?
Yeah, I mean, typically we'll do some days we'll do like two days before or 3 days before we'll do a bullpen anyway. So we're hoping that's kind of like a bullpen for him. But you know, as long as he iced his arm, feeling good, he'll be fine.
Alrighty, coach. And has the team put in any thought that you're playing for a spot in the Final Four? Has that crossed y'all's mind yet?
Not really something we're talking about. It's just more about one game at a time, you know, it's one inning at a time. Things that we've been focused on for the past four games, we're going to try to do the same thing today.
And finally, coach, the weather, a little unforgiving right now, a little unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Could be windy, rainy. How's that going to affect today's play?
Reminds me a lot of our district game last year, with the weather, and you just don't know what to expect. It's the truth. I mean, I don't know how many bags of Diamond Dry we used last year in that district game at Greenville, so I'm hoping it's not that severe, but we'll wait and see, I guess.
That's St. Vincent head coach Tyler Search. First pitch coming up on AM 800 KREI.
It was 1963.
And Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business, where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fleeg's Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart, because at Fleeg's Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleeg's Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleeg's Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the Outer Service Road at Lettington Exit, or online 24/7, fligs.com.
Fligs Equipment, let our family serve your family.
Welcome back to our pregame coverage on AM 800 KREI of state quarterfinal baseball action as St. Vincent is taking on South Pemiscot High School. We were at South Pemiscot High School. We're at Bishop Field. However, St. Vincent won the coin toss, and they are the home team today. Right now we're doing starting lineups. We'll have the national anthem coming up. South Pemiscot being introduced now. They'll be wearing white pants with a black trim. The tops are black tops with gray sleeves. White South Pemiscot written across the front, white numbers on the back for St. Vincent, yellow uniforms with blue numbers, and white pants with the blue trim. We'll continue our pregame coverage coming up on AM 800 KREI. And now the St. Vincent reserves are going to be introduced, and we'll go down the St. Vincent starting lineup. The pitcher today will be Tyler Munier. He is number 13. He'll be followed in the lineup by Riley Reen, Blake Hinneman, who will be the third baseman. Riley Reen will be in center field. Tyler Unterreiner, the right fielder. Ethan Pequeue, who had a big homer in the state sectional game. He will be the designated hitter. He'll be followed in the sixth hole by Mitchell Double R. He'll be at third base. Evan Clifton will be the shortstop. Garrett Double R behind the plate, also the number eight hole. And Matt Klein will be batting out of the nine hole, and he is the second baseman. For South Pemiscot, the Bulldogs, Riley Coyne will lead off the game. He is the pitcher, Riley Kane. Logan Dainsworth, the shortstop. He will be in the two hole. He'll be followed by Colton McCullough, the DH. DJ Jones will be batting cleanup. He's the center fielder. He'll be followed by Keith Guyton at second base. Chandler Goff in the sixth hole. He'll be at first base. Kevin Burton, will be in left field. Jacob Davis at catcher. And Ryan Russell will be batting ninth, and he is the third base. We'll step aside, and we'll be right back with more pregame coverage of the state quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI.
Hi, Paul Hale at New Era Bank. Has your bank made avoiding fees on your checking account difficult? New Era Bank wants to make your life simpler, and we think it should start with your checking account. At New Era Bank, we still offer a free checking account with paper statements. No minimum balances, no other requirements. Visit any of our locations in Fredericktown, Farmington, Park Hills, Deloge, or Bonterre, or our website at www.newerabank.com for more information. New Era Bank, member FDIC.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come see us and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck, because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Get anytime access with Unico Bank's 24-hour banking service. All you need is a touch-tone phone. You can check your current loan balances, check on your last loan payments, get the due date of your next loan payment, transfer funds between accounts current time, as well as check out your account balance. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including holidays. It is easy to use. To find out more, stop at a Unico Bank near you in Potosi, Irondale, or Deloge, or unicobank.com. Unico Bank, homegrown, locally owned, locally operated. For you.
To put your business out in front with great-looking signs, banners, and vehicle advertising, call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Gotta get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
Signs say so much about your business. To give that perfect first impression with a great sign, call Main Street Signs today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
You gotta get on down to Main Street. Get a new sign.
10,000 square foot state-of-the-art facility, factory-trained ASE and ICAR certified technicians, PPG certified windshield repair and replacement, paintless dent removal. Hi, this is Brad Wooten from the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body. Why should you choose us for your collision repair and automotive glass needs? We are a direct repair facility chosen by major insurance companies. We are an Automotive Service Excellence Award winner, a Customer Service and Customer Satisfaction Award winner, a Business of the Year Award winner, and have been chosen by the Better Business Bureau as an accredited business. We also feature loaner cars on site for your convenience and a written lifetime warranty. The award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body, across from Ozarks Regional Library in the beautiful Arcadia Valley.
The choice of an insurance company is an important one. You want someone to provide you with the best policy, with the best price, and the best service a company possibly can. Welcome home to Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Hi, I'm Kim Fisher.
And I'm Chris Schamberg. Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company provides you with the best policy, the best price, and the best service we possibly can.
We are and will continue to be a hometown company with hometown values, servicing insurance needs in Perry County, St. Genevieve County, and in the surrounding areas.
You're at home with Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Call our offices today in Perryville at 573-547-6633 or in St. Genevieve at 883-3520 or online at moalliance.ins.com.
Business owners rejoice. The secret to advertising is out. Yes, that's right. To find out more, log on to mainstreetsigns.com.
Gonna get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
A sign that works great may be the most important ingredient to your company's success. Call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
You gotta get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
Welcome back to Class 2 State Quarterfinal action on AM 800 KREI. The National Anthem just played, and we are getting ready to play ball. St. Vincent, even though we're at South Pemiscot High School, St. Vincent won the toss, and they will be the home team, which means they bat last, and South Pemiscot will lead us off. St. Vincent in a huddle, caps in the air. They're going to touch the hats, and we're getting ready to play ball. Matt, what we thought might be not a great day for baseball turned out in about 30 minutes to be not so bad.
Not so bad, and the forecast says that the rain should stay away as we approach the 5 o'clock hour. It's 4:35 right now, but it may be a little windy, but it still is very, very comfortable out here. And it's a you mentioned St. Vincent winning the toss and getting to be the home team this afternoon. Well, we saw what it did for them on Monday against Van Farr. By virtue of them getting that 15th run in the sixth inning, the game was over then. They didn't have to play a top of the seventh, so that means another pitcher did not have to throw 20, 30 pitches. And I think that could be advantageous for Coach Search as he has Munier starting. If Munier struggles a little bit, he's got two, three guys he can rely on that did not pitch on Monday that should be fresh and ready to go.
Joining Munier on the field, Garrett Doublar will be behind the dish, behind the plate. He'll be his battery mate. They'll be Hinneman over at first base, Klein at second base, Clifton at short, and Mitchell Doublar will be at third. And then your outfielders from left to right will be Lappy, Reen, and Unterreiner. As everyone is warming up and we are getting ready for action, the music is blasting. A decent-sized crowd here at Bishop Field in Steele, Missouri. Population 2,172. How about that photographic memory, Matt, from seeing the sign rolling into town? 21-72.
Not too bad. Would you like me to pat you on the back, Kevin?
I'm proud of myself. That's all that matters. So action about so to get underway here as Garrett Doublar heads behind the plate. The music's off. Munier on the mound. He's ready to go. And Riley Kane steps in to lead off for South Pemiscot. And the Class 2 state quarterfinals are underway. First pitch on the outside corner for a strike.
Before the state playoffs began, Tyler Munier, 3.5 ERA, 36 innings pitch, only 19 strikeouts, 15 walks. He's going to have better command here against a pretty potent South Pemiscot offense.
The 0-1 pitch right on the numbers on the outside corner in for a strike as well. So now the count 0-2, so a good start for Munier, throwing strikes. The 0-2 pitch swung on and missed, and a strikeout to start the game for Munier.
As both coaches alluded to in the pregame show, it's word of mouth right now. There's not a lot of video coverage of these teams, so it's, you know, who was able to see them, who's able to give good enough information to the coaches. So obviously they're Riley Kane starting to trying to see what Munier has to offer.
So the first pitch from Munier to Damesworth is hit deep into left field, but Lappy runs back, gets under the ball, and secures the second out for St. Vincent. And that's, Matt, three pitches, two outs. That ain't too bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all. That one given a bit of a ride. You'd like to see that not hit as hard. And we even got some South Penobscot Bulldogs wearing jackets. Apparently the cool temperature is affecting them a little bit.
I got me a nice jacket on. Matt, a little more manly than me without a jacket. This ball slapped down to second base. Run over, picked up, thrown over to Hinneman, and secures the third out for the inning. So five pitches, three outs for St. Vincent. A hot start, and we'll come back with St. Vincent in the lineup on AM 800 KREI.
Citizens Electric would like to wish the St. Vincent's Indians the best of luck. We would also like to ask our members to be energy conservationists. When you enroll in PowerShift, you prevent the need to burn additional fossil fuels during times of high demand. As an extra bonus, you could be eligible for up to $75 in savings each year you participate. Learn more at CECMO.com. Go SV Indians!
Welcome back to AM 800 KREI state quarterfinal action from Bishop Field in Steele, Missouri, home of South Penobscot, as St. Vincent off to an incredibly hot start on defense. They threw five pitches and secured three outs. I don't think you could ask for a better start, Matt.
Well, and we had thrown out the number 15 walks and 36 innings pitched. It's not very good, so it was up to Munier to start off this game attacking the strike zone, find the location with the fastball, the changeup. He mixed in a little bit of both there against the top three hitters for South Penobscot. And as you mentioned, five pitches, three outs. Ideal start for Munier. Again, he threw about 40 pitches on Monday, kept him under the radar for the pitch count rule by Misha, so he'll be able to throw a solid 105 today if Coach Schertz needs him to do so.
Munier will lead us off for St. Vincent. He'll be followed by Riley Reen, Blake Hinneman, Tyler Unterreiner batting cleanup. Ethan PQ will be in the five hole, followed by Mitchell Double R, Evan Clifton, Garrett Double R, and Matt Klein. So the pitcher leads off for both teams as Tyler Munier, right-hander, takes a couple of practice swings. Yellow jerseys with a white trim, blue numbers, blue helmets, white pants for St. Vincent. Looking really clean today.
They certainly are. Pretty clean line for Riley Kane, the pitcher on the mound for South Penobscot. A 1.64 ERA and 34 innings pitch with 60 punch-outs.
Here comes the first pitch, and that is inside for a ball to Munier.
That's got some zip on it for sure.
Pitching will be the key in this game, as is with every baseball game. But in the state sectional round, Matt, St. Vincent got off to a slow start, and they struggled with good pitching. So it'll be interesting to see how fast of a start they can get here offensively. And the 2-0 pitch in for a strike. Count now 2-1 for the leadoff hitter, Tyler Munier. Munier went hitless in the game against Van Farr. He did get an RBI score to run, though, and that pitch in for a strike. Count now 2-2. And here comes the kick. Munier swung on, hit towards second base. Couple hops picked up. Thrown over to first base and secured the first out. Guyton to Goff, and Munier is down, and that will bring up Riley Reen, the center fielder.
Using the fastball early is Riley Kane. It looks like a pretty good one as he'll get to face Riley Reen, the center fielder, in just a hot second. But Reen, first lefty that Kane is going to face today.
And the first pitch into Reen, he shows bunt, pulls it back, and that is in for a ball. But nonetheless, Matt, putting the bat on the ball, that was the key for St. Vincent last game against Van Farr. If you put the ball in play, good things will happen. Here comes the 1-0 pitch, swung on, missed, fouled down the first baseline, count 1-1.
And certainly we saw that really play into effect when the pitcher, Hottie, overthrew the second baseman on a chance for a double play. That throwing error led to an additional runner being on base, and then the onslaught of runs came.
Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Reen shows bunt, pulls back, in for a ball.
And I was thinking earlier, you know, these teams aren't very familiar with one another, so let's see what they're made of. And Reen showing bunt, see what Russell, the third baseman, can do over there.
The 2-1 pitch, outside corner, in for a strike. We are set up right behind home plate, a little off-center to our left, so kind of hard to tell on the outside pitches. But that ball was in for a strike. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed for a strikeout for Reen. And two up, two down for South Pemiscot as Blake Hinneman steps to the mound.
Slowly but surely, Kane went from inside to the lefty, Reen to the outside. And after that fastball fisted foul down the first baseline, he goes with a fastball up and away and gets Reen to cut underneath it.
And I said Hinneman to the mound. Obviously, I meant the batter's box. The first pitch in for a strike. That had a little movement, a late break on there. Hinneman, a big guy, a legit 6'2", 6'3", as he steps in, number 12.
Maybe 6'5".
Here comes the first pitch. Oh, that ball almost hit him. That left the hand a little weird of Kane. Count now 1-1.
Hinneman 2-for-4 on Monday against Van Far with two ribbies.
Here comes the pitch. Right down the middle, smoked into the center field, into the right center field gap. However, Jones able to run under it and secure the catch, and that's three up, three down for both teams. And we will head to the top of the second inning on AM 800 KREI.
Your time is precious. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, you can quickly check balances, make payments, transfer funds, and more. All from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Which leaves you with more time to do the things you want. Manage your money with your fingertips with online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank. Connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Class 2 State Quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI, St. Vincent versus South Pemiscot. We're at South Pemiscot Bishop Field. However, St. Vincent won the coin toss, and they are the home team today. Coming up the bat for South Pemiscot is DJ Jones. The center fielder will be followed by Keith Guyton and Chandler Goff.
And for those of you listening on AM 800 KREI or wherever you may be listening, beginning at 5 o'clock, we're going to have updates from St. Vincent's athletic director, Bruce Valeroy. He'll be sending us updates on the St. Vincent Maplewood Girls Soccer State quarterfinals. St. Vincent and Maplewood beginning at 5 o'clock. We will have updates for you on AM 800 KREI.
If you want to get prepared for that, just head on over to MIMO Info. There should be a story up on Caitlin Pistorio, the head coach.
Yeah, get pumped up.
Preparing for that soccer game. Here comes the first pitch from Munier, fired in, swung on, hit into right field, and it will fall, and it will be a leadoff single for DJ Jones, the first runner to reach base in this ball game.
And I think the Bulldogs picked up rather early on that Munier is going to try to attack the strike zone as much as possible. So DJ Jones was going up there looking for that first pitch ball in the zone. He got it, got just enough of it to send it out into right field.
And it would have been a tough play by Unterreiner to get to that ball in time. He would have had a full layout dive. So that will bring up Keith Guyton to the plate. And here comes the first pitch from Munier down for a ball.
Essentially, if he goes for that and doesn't get it, Jones is standing at third base.
Yeah, that's a good point. So a man on first, no outs. Keith Guyton up to bat. He is the second baseman. Munier, the righty, checks first base. Leg kick, fires. This ball in for a strike, and it's fouled out of play. Count now 1-1.
Before the game started, the PA guy was trying to let the fans know that even though the Bulldogs were the visiting team, they would still put up the score line at the Bulldogs portion of the scoreboard. Well, they haven't really done that yet.
That's just going to confuse us. This ball swung on, popped up towards first base, and it is snagged by Hinneman for the first out of the game. Not of the game, of the inning. Getting a little bit ahead of myself. I get a little excited here.
Chandler Goff, the next guy coming up for Coach House and the Bulldogs, a 250 batting average. He does have one home run on the year, has struck out just 18 times in 56 at-bats.
We saw St. Vincent turn a double play against Van Far. Be interesting to see if they can get a ball hit up the middle, if they can do it again. The first pitch high and outside, that will be for a ball.
And actually, 18 strikeouts and 56 plate appearances is not a good ratio.
Well, it's better than not swinging, though. I'd rather go down swinging than not. Here comes the pitch from Munier. The 1-0 fires high over the head of Goff, and that's in for a ball. The count now 2-0.
I've noticed that both the Bulldog defense and the Indians defense over in the hot corner is playing a little bit more on the grass, trying to cut off those ground balls, maybe even turn two.
One thing Munier doesn't want to do is get behind in the counts very often. This ball swung on, lifted into left field. It's back. It's a deep hit, and it is to the wall. The center fielder picks it up, fires it in. They're going to hold the runner at third, but that is a double for Goff, and now a runner on second and third with one out.
That was a beautiful swing through the zone by Chandler Goff, and if the wind was blowing out like it had before the game had begun, that ball is going to sail over that left field fence for a home run, but no wind as it stands right now, sort of blowing from left to right instead of out, and that allowed the ball to stay in, and so now we'll see how Munier deals with a little adversity here. He went three up, three down in the first, two hits here in the second inning. How does the senior handle the pressure of the state quarterfinal?
We saw St. Vincent fall behind 4-1 in the game against Van Far, so they're used to playing from behind, and they like these tight games. So that is right. It'll be interesting to see, like, if a ball's hit to third base, is he going to go home with it, or is he going to take the out? We will find out.
And that usually depends on the positioning of the third baseman. If he's back at the cutout of the grass, that means he's probably likely to come home with it. If he backs up towards the dirt, he'll likely fire across the diamond for the first.
Well, sorry to talk over you, Matt. Here's the right-hander, Kevin Burton, on the mound, and the first pitch is in for a ball. So Munier, in this second inning, having a little trouble with his control. Runners on second and third. Munier kicks, fires, outside corner, swung on, popped up towards third base. And it will be snagged by Mitchell, double R, as he runs over. It almost got all the way to the mound, called off the pitcher. But that is a second out, and that's a huge out, Matt, for St. Vincent.
That really is. Ideally, when you have runners at second and third, you want that strikeout or that pop-up on the infield. Kevin Burton obliged with the pop-up towards third base in between the mound and third base. And now Munier is just one guy out, the number eight hitter, away from getting out of here with the game still scoreless.
That number eight hitter is Jacob Davis. He is the catcher for South Pemiscot. And here comes the first pitch in for a ball. That one was close, probably a little bit high, kind of chest level. Runners on second and third, two outs for Munier. And they're going to call a timeout. I guess it was called by Davis.
That was a very late time called by Davis.
I almost thought he yelled Bach for a second. Nonetheless, here we go. Munier kicks, fires, outside corner, swung on, lifted deep into center field. They're running under it, and it is snagged by Reen. A great job to track that ball down, and St. Vincent gets out of a jam, and we remain scoreless, heading to the bottom of the second on AM 800 KREI.
Jay's Auto Body and Sales in Perryville is your number one dealer for the best in pre-owned vehicles in Southeast Missouri. Specializing in finding the right vehicle for you, come see them for your auto body needs. They're a preferred shop for several insurance companies. Jay's will handle it for you with their great staff that will handle all your auto body needs. Give them a call, 573-547-7884, or visit them at 401 South Kings Highway. Jay's Auto Body and Sales is proud to sponsor local sports teams and congratulates them for all their dedication and hard work. Come get your fix at Jay's Auto Body and Sales in Perryville.
Welcome back to the Class 2 State Quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI. Scoreless right now is South Pemiscot and St. Vincent. And we just got a text from our sports director, Greg Armbruster. Him and Sean Malone are out watching West County play, broadcasting that game over on J98. And West County has a 2-0 lead through the second inning.
Better watch out, Portageville. Don't want to fall behind the Bulldogs of West County.
Well, John Simley, he's got the Bulldogs rolling over there as well. So as Tyler Search, the head coach of St. Vincent, leisurely strolls over to the third baseline. South Pemiscot getting ready to warm up. And that will bring up the cleanup hitter, Tyler Unterreiner, for the Indians.
Unterreiner had himself a whale of a game in that come-from-behind route by St. Vincent. And by the way, I just want to point out that saying come-from-behind route is just a weird combination of words, because usually when you come back, you're winning by like one or two, but they won by 10. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, Unterreiner, 3-for-4 with two RBIs out of the four spot.
It's like saying I've had bad barbecue, even though we just went through that as well. So it happens to the best of us. So Tyler Unterreiner steps in the box, a big right-hander against the right-hander Kane as he kicks his leg in, fires the pitch. This ball in for a strike. And, Matt, you notice the late movement on that ball.
Yeah, you certainly do. A little two-seam action, little running fastball from Kane. And he's getting a lot of looks from area colleges.
And Kane throws this ball in the dirt. It gets behind the catcher. And the count now 1-1. And Matt, you see big Ethan PQ on deck, the big home run hitter from the Van Far game in the state sectionals. And here comes the 1-1 pitch from Kane. Leg kicks, fires. This ball swung on, lifted into right field. And it will get down, and it will get to the wall. And here goes Unterreiner. He's going to go for two, and he will have a stand-up leadoff double for Tyler Unterreiner.
The ball is really jumping off the bats of both these teams right now. And Tyler Unterreiner, you know, he plays linebacker, wide receiver, tight end, occasionally the fullback for the football team. So, you know, anytime, as big and strong as he is, anytime he's going to get a hold of one, he's going to really get a hold of one. He did there for that double.
And here we go, Matt. Ethan PQ, who had a giant three-run, probably 340-foot home run in the Van Far game as he's up to bat. And here comes the first pitch to him. This ball is low and away. Unterreiner stays at second. But a runner in scoring position, no out. St. Vincent would sure like to capitalize on this opportunity.
They certainly would. And Kane almost helped him out there with that curveball in the dirt. Almost got away from the catcher. Davis would have been a runner at third with nobody out.
The 1-0 pitch inside. Almost looked like it was going to hit PQ, but had a late break inside, a curveball. So the count now 2-0 for Ethan PQ, a hitter's count.
By the way, the last pitcher that went out for South Pemiscot was Logan Damesworth, and Coach House telling us that Damesworth is going to be going to Mineral Area College.
The 2-0 pitch in for a strike on the outside corner. Matt, you mentioned just a minute ago this ball seems to be jumping off the bat. I don't even know if we've mentioned the wind blowing slightly out. I would say probably about a 10-mile-per-hour breeze or so. Here comes the 2-1 pitch in for PQ. He swungs on. This ball is drilled into right field, and it is off the wall. It looked like it was going to go, but hit at the bottom of the wall. PQ is going to make it to second, and Unterreiner is only going to get to third. Can't help but think he could have gotten a little farther, but that ball was absolutely crushed in a double for Ethan PQ.
It's a very rare occasion for a guy to get a double with another guy standing at second and that guy at second not to score. And way to point that, good job pointing that out, because now South Pemiscot is kind of in the same position St. Vincent was in, runners at second and third. In this instance, there's nobody out, but you're just two pop-ups and a strikeout away from no runs being scored when there should have been at least one.
I would love to know what Unterreiner was thinking there, at least get halfway. And this pitch has gotten away, and Unterreiner's going to go for home. It got away from Davis, and he's going to turn back, and he's going to make it to third. And PQ almost got caught in the middle between second and third, but everybody is safe. A crazy sequence of events.
And we touched on this in Monday's game. When you're at third base and a ball gets away, ideally you want that ball to get away back towards your direction so you get a good read on it. Unterreiner thought he had the good read on it, but the ball ended up dying in the thick grass here, and he had to scramble back to third base.
So the count now is 1-0, and this pitch in high for a ball, and that is to Mitchell Double R.
And I have noticed that the grass is actually a little bit taller. I would say the blades are about 2 inches high.
Kind of like the Notre Dame football field. They're trying to slow everything down here. This two-seam fastball is in for a strike. Count now 2-1 for Double R.
And they did mow the infield. You can tell it's much lower, but behind home plate and up the lines, it is a deeper grass.
2-1 count. Kane, leg kick, fires this ball. Hit right up the middle, and it's going to get through the gap. Here comes Unterreiner. PQ will be hold at third, and there'll be a runner at first and third. An RBI single for Mitchell Double R.
Well, instead of the RBI going to Ethan PQ, Double R picks it up, and St. Vincent up 1-0 with runners at the corners, and this is going to draw Jason House, the head coach for the Bulldogs, to come out to the mound and gather the infield. And when what the discussion likely is here is sometimes when you have runners at the corners, it's ideal to have that runner at first try to take second base. So he's probably out there saying, all right, if they're going to take off for a second, this is what we're going to do. Whether it's we're going to throw down and see if we can get him out because you do have a slower runner in PQ at third base, or it might be we're going to cut the throw off, see if PQ comes home, let him have second base. So there's a lot of scenarios to run through, and I'm sure that's what Coach House was doing there. Not only just that, but also just kind of calm Kane down. You're behind 1-0. It's still early on in the game, and you got the bottom of the order that you're facing.
So Evan Clifton, the 7-hole up to bat. No outs. A runner on first and third. A run already scored. And this first pitch is in for a strike. count 0-1. St. Vincent with a 1-0 lead. Runners on the corners. It'd be interesting. Do you think they would try to bunt the runner to second over, or the runner from first over to second, Matt?
It's another possibility.
Doesn't look like it, as Clifton takes a check swing on a curveball, and that's in for a strike count 0-2. I think the punt's taken away.
Yeah, now once you get to 0-2, you take that away for sure.
Be interesting to see if they are going to send Mitchell double R over on first. As Kane, he has a high leg kick. And this one's a short one. This ball, curveball in for a strikeout, looking at a late call by the umpire. But Evan Clifton goes down looking, and that will bring up Garrett double R. The first out of the inning, runner still on the corners.
The movement is definitely not the issue for Kane today. He's got great movement on that fastball. It runs in on the righties and away from the lefties. He's got a pretty good changeup, a curveball that has a good break to it. It's a matter of, can he confuse the hitters enough to where he gets swings and misses?
So Garrett double R up to bat, one out, runners on the corner. St. Vincent looking to add another run here. The second strikeout so far for Kane on the day as he checks the corners. Small leg kick fires in. This ball nails Garrett double R right above the elbow. That one's going to hurt a little bit. But now the bases are juiced with one out.
It might have glanced off his elbow and then off of his rib cage as well. He's going to be replaced by a runner. I don't think because of injury, just because that's what Coach Search has decided here. And that is number 19, by the way, Matt Religert.
So courtesy runner, bases loaded, one out for the nine-hole hitter, Matt Klein. And you say nine-hole and you get a little concerned, but Matt Klein was on fire in the Van Far game, Matt.
He was 3-for-4, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored out of the 9 spot. That's rare to get that, especially in high school. And Matt Klein came through for sure.
So the first pitch in for a strike, and the 0-1 pitch is now down for a ball count 1-1.
And most coaches will designate a courtesy runner for their catcher. Garrett double R is the catcher.
So Klein takes a bad swing on a ball in the dirt, and the count now 1-2. Klein just looking to get this ball out of the infield, whether on the ground or through the air, and a chance to bring PQ home. Count 1-2. Kane, leg kicks, fires outside. Count now 2-2.
Bases loaded opportunity for St. Vincent. They do have one on the board, but you want to be greedy and get 2 or 3.
So this ball swung on and fouled off on Klein, an inside fastball. Count remains 2-2.
And sometimes it really doesn't depend where a guy is in the batting order, because some players just get hot at the right time. And from what we saw Monday, Matt Klein is on fire. We'll see if it continues.
So here comes the 2-2 pitch in, swung on, hit right up the middle, over to the pitcher. PQ's going to go home, and he's going to be out, but the bases will remain loaded. So good job by Kane. He picked up the ball, he fumbled it, but he was able to go home and save a run for South Pemiscot. But now we're back to the top of the order, and that's Tyler Munier with the bases loaded and 2 outs.
Chance for Tyler to help himself out here, and that was great composure from Riley Kane. He bobbled the ball twice, but not so bad to where it got too far away from him. It stayed at his right foot. He picked it up and made a good solid throw chest high to his catcher Davis for the force out.
The first pitch to Munier on the outside corner in for a strike. I think this ump has a wider strike zone than most.
And it's going to be tough for him today, because Riley Kane does have a lot of late movement on those curveballs and fastballs.
Another fastball with that late break. Count now 0-2 for Munier. What's interesting, Matt, is we noticed from the Van Far game, when this St. Vincent lineup gets a second look at a pitcher, they typically produce. This ball slapped down to shortstop. Great job run over. He's going to pick it up, throw it to Ferd, and he is out. And South Pemiscot gets themselves out of a huge jam. But one run comes across for St. Vincent, and they lead 1-0 as we head to the top of the third inning.
It was 1963.
And Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business, where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fleeg's Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart, because at Fleeg's Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleeg's Equipment. a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleegs Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Lettington Exit, or online 24/7, fleegs.com.
Fleegs Equipment, let our family serve your family.
Welcome back to the state quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI, St. Vincent versus South Pemiscot. We are at Bishop Field in Steele, Missouri, from the campus of South Pemiscot High School. St. Vincent able to jump out to an early 1-0 lead as we are in the top of the third inning. St. Vincent not able to capitalize on bases loaded with one out. They drove one run in, but an early lead is still an early lead. And the Indians are getting ready to go on defense. As the nine-hole hitter will lead off for South Pemiscot, that's Ryan Russell. He's the third baseman. He's also a tall guy, about 6'1", 6'2". And the first pitch from Munier is high and off the helmet of South Pemiscot. And that ball hit off his helmet so hard, it bounced over the dugout or over the backstop and past the bleachers. So,
and this fence is about a good 15 feet high, maybe a little bit higher, and that thing cleared it very easily.
His ears may be ringing a little bit after that one. I've never seen that before in my life. But nonetheless, back to the top of the order with a runner on first, and that's Riley Kane, the pitcher. Pitcher versus pitcher action. This ball down low in for a ball from Munier. Runner on first, no outs. As Munier checks the runner on first. Leg kick fires. This ball driven into deep center field. Reen able to run, and it's going to get over Reen. It's going to bounce off the wall. They're going to hold the runner at third, but a double for the pitcher, Riley Kane. And now runners on third and second with no out.
This is exactly what St. Vincent did in their bottom half of the inning. Right back at you, say the Bulldogs, second and third, nobody out. Will South Pemiscot take advantage of it and get more than one run? Or will they do what St. Vincent did and get one tied up heading into the bottom of the third inning?
Yeah, this is crazy. You look at the first inning, it was three up, three down for both teams. But now that both teams have gotten a look at their pitcher, they're coming back and they're swinging away.
Baseball players always talk about picking up pitches, gauging speed, all that kind of stuff.
So the first pitch for Logan Damesworth is high, and that's in for a ball. Damesworth, he flew out to right field in the first inning.
And immediately Damesworth turned to the dugout and started rotating his right hand about halfway, maybe indicating that he picked up the rotation of that curveball.
The 1-0 pitch is getting away from the catcher, double R, and there's going to be a play at the plate, and Kane is safe. And we are tied at one apiece. And it looks like Munier got hit in the mouth by the helmet from the diving Kane. Looks like we're going to have a...
may have knocked a tooth out.
Yeah, he's injured. He's laying down right over home plate as head coach Tyler Search came running out immediately to check on his starting pitcher. The umpire looking down, his catcher looking down.
Well, you'd hate to have Munier out of this game.
Yeah, that was just kind of one of those freak accidents. And you know what, Matt? I think we're going to step aside. We'll take a one-minute break, and we'll be back, and we'll give you an update on AM 800 KREI.
Business owners, rejoice. The secret to advertising is out. Yes, that's right. To find out more, log on to MainStreetSigns.com.
Gonna get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
A sign that works great may be the most important ingredient to your company's success. Call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at MainStreetSigns.com.
You gotta get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
Hi, Paul Hale at Newera Bank. Has your bank made avoiding fees on your checking account difficult? Newera Bank wants to make your life simpler, and we think it should start with your checking account. At Newera Bank, we still offer a free checking account with paper statements. No minimum balances, no other requirements. Visit any of our locations in Fredericktown, Farmington, Park Hills, Deloge, or Bonterre, or our website at www.newerabank.com for more information. Newera Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome Welcome back to the state quarterfinal action on AM 800 KREI, South Pemiscot versus St. Vincent. And Matt, we just had kind of a weird play where the ball got behind the pitcher or the catcher, Garrett Double R, and he ran back, threw the ball to Munier, who was at home plate trying to make a play to save a run. And the runner dove head first, and it ended up hitting Munier in the mouth. That's what I saw.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened there. And whether or not it was full contact to the mouth or full contact to the nose or just the whole facial region, Munier is in some discomfort. He asked for a bottle of water. He might have bled up a little bit. So swish that water around, get that blood out, you know, old boxer style kind of thing. But I think he's going to be able to stay in this game. And I like the fact that the umpires are giving him a chance to gather himself and shake this off. But what we saw St. Vincent, how they got their run is they actually produced their run with the hit with runners at second and third and one out. The difference here for South Pemiscot, as it looks like Munier is going to be all right, he's going to be able to stay in this game, but for South Pemiscot, they get a run without having to put the ball in play, and so now they have a runner at third with still nobody out, and they have tied up this game. So for St. Vincent right now, it's do your best to try to keep the guy from third scoring. If he does happen to score, let's make it just that one guy scoring and go down 2-1 into the bottom of the third.
I think what's hard is you can argue that St. Vincent's run was preventable. They could have stopped that ball. That ball kind of squeaked through the legs of Garrett Double R behind the plate, whereas St. Vincent, their run, they earned it.
Right.
This one probably got away from them. Well, they'd like to have that one back.
And we've mentioned that the blades of grass it's a lot thicker behind home plate and up the lines than it is between the lines. And that ball actually died, even though normal grass, it probably would have rolled all the way to the fence, but it died about 10 feet behind home plate. But the runner at third, Russell, has got good speed, got a great read, got a great jump, and that's why he was able to score.
And the other thing is Russell only got on base because he was hit by a pitch, so got hit off the head, but it apparently didn't affect his balance too much.
Well, that brings me to another point is when your team gets you the lead, the last thing you want to do is allow the leadoff man to get on. By a hit, you can live with that, but hitting them, that's your control. That's you in control. And he didn't have control of that first pitch, off-speed pitch to start this inning, and now that guy, Russell, has come around to score.
So Blame's play is resuming for Logan Dainsworth. He has a 2-0 count after about a five-minute break. Munier got some warm-up pitches, and we are back underway as Dainsworth steps into the box. He's ready to go, and here comes the pitch from Munier. Runner on third with no outs, a curveball in for a strike.
And Greg just texted us another update. West County all over Portageville, 5-0.
Congratulations to the Bulldogs. Well, as we saw, no lead is safe when you get this deep in the playoffs, especially with how windy it is here. And they're going to steal home, and it's going to be successful. Wow. You don't see that very often. They steal home from the pitcher, Riley Kane. They tried to do a hit and run, and Dames tried to lay down a bunt, but it didn't even matter because by the time the ball reached the plate, Kane was almost already there.
You rarely see it at the major league level, and you never expect to see it at the high school level. And not only that, but Munier's a right-handed pitcher. Out of your peripheral, you should be able to see that, keep him close, and deliver a quick pitch to the plate. And he didn't. He took his time. He finally realized it, but it was way too late. Kane was already 10 feet away from home plate by the time Munier let go of the pitch.
And this ball hit down to the first baseline, picked up by Hinneman, and he secures the first out of the inning, but not before South Pemiscot adds two runs onto the board. You know, I always say here, I love baseball. And when I watch baseball, I always want to be like, you should steal home like Benny the Jet Rodriguez in the Sandlot. And I can't believe I just saw it. I mean, this is playoff baseball, Matt. This is what I'm all about.
And we talked about St. Vincent trying to limit the damage here. Well, if Kane is the only other guy that scores this inning, 2-1's not a bad scoreline to be going into the bottom of the third.
So here comes the first pitch from Munier to Colton McCullough. And that was in for a ball. As Munier leg kicks, fires. Wow, a nice curveball breaks right down into the center of the zone. Count now 1-1. So, Matt, it makes me wonder, did Coach Jason House, does he notice that Munier kind of has a slow stretch delivery here? Another curveball swung on and missed. Man, that is a nasty pitch. McCullough wanted all of that one. He swung hard. That head came out. That body came out.
He certainly did, and it's already windy enough. You don't need him swinging and missing through a big curveball like that.
So the 1-2 pitch, high and outside, count now 2-2. one out on the inning. South Pemiscot already drove in two runs. And here comes the pitch from Munier. Another curveball, and this one slapped into left field, and it is grabbed by Lappy. But one thing I noticed, Matt, is that ball had some wicked movement on it because Lappy kind of started, stopped, fumbled a little bit, but he was able to track it down.
Well, as a left-handed hitter, when you go opposite field, and the same could be said as a right fielder, but it seems to be mainly left-handed hitters, is that ball is going to slice. It's going to have a natural slice to it because left-handed hitters usually get behind those balls. They're a little bit late. So, dealing with that little cutting action was a little difficult for Lappy, but he dealt with it pretty all right.
So that brings up DJ Jones, the cleanup hitter. He had a single in the second inning, now up to bat here in the top of the third. First pitch in for a strike, and the 0-1 pitch is down for a ball, and the count now is 1-1.
Dorian Jones, DJ, one home run on the year, 16 RBIs.
And this ball slapped over to shortstop, and it's going to get under the glove of Clifton, and that will be a second straight single for DJ Jones.
So he hit a single to right field and out of center field. Next up, I'm sure he's going to try to pull it over to left field to get on base, but they keep on putting the ball in play, South Pemiscot, and they have that 2-1 lead as they're still trying to figure out how to operate the scoreboard correctly. So good thing we keep score ourselves, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to start making Matt write down the score. And that ball is in for a strike to the five-hole Keith Guyton. He is the second baseman, a runner on first with two outs. St. Vincent looking for an out to be able to get out of this inning. Munier throws this ball down. This one slaps straight up the middle again, and that will be a single for Keith Guyton. And now a runner on first and second with two outs. And, Matt, it looks like South Pemiscot has figured out Munier.
So far, so good. They're really good at sitting on that fastball. That's what they're picking out right now. They're trying to hit the curveball. They can't hit it, but that fastball, that's what they're looking for, and that's what they're putting back in play.
So that will bring up Chandler Goff, the six-hole hitter. He had a double in the second inning. So Munier fires a curveball in for a ball. Man, that was a close one. That curveball, man, that thing just falls right off the top of the shelf. That is beautiful. So the count now 1-0, and it's starting to get cold here and windy. Munier fires an outside pitch for a ball, count 2-0. You don't want to load the bases up even though you have two outs, Matt, because that's always dangerous.
Even if you're facing the number seven hitter, you just that mind, the mind game that goes into effect when you have the bases loaded.
We saw St. Vincent battle back down three runs in the state sectionals against Van Farber. You don't want to do that more than once. You don't want to play with fire, otherwise you're going to get burned. And here comes the 2-0 pitch from Munier. This ball in for a strike, and it's hit into right field, and it is jumped up and caught by Unterreiner, and that will end the inning, but not before South Pemiscot drives in two runs and takes the lead 2-1 from the state quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI.
Get anytime access with Unico Bank's 24-hour banking service. All you need is a touch-tone phone. You can check your current loan balances, check on your last loan payments, get the due date of your next loan payment, transfer funds between accounts current time, as well as check out your account balance. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including holidays. It is easy to use. To find out more, stop at a Unico Bank near you in Potosi, Irondale, or Deloge, or unicobank.com. Unico Bank, homegrown, locally owned, locally operated. For you.
Welcome back to AM 800 KREI state quarterfinal baseball action. South Pemiscot leads the St. Vincent Indians 2-1. And hey, look, the scoreboard is back on. We're in business. And we shut off there in the last half inning as they're trying to figure it out. And we are about to get things started here. It'll be Reen, Hinneman, and Unterreiner up for the Indians, who are looking to add a run, down by one run. There we go.
Yeah, if I were you, I just would not look at the scoreboard today.
Well, I said 2-1 when we came back. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, that's right. But, you know, I'm known to have a lapse in judgment every once in a while. Not very often, but, you know,
right,
give myself
right.
A little bit of credit here.
Right. By the way, thanks to Bruce Valeroy, athletic director for St. Vincent, updating us on their soccer match against Maplewood. 1-0 St. Vincent, scoring a goal in the first minute and 47 seconds.
Caitlin Pistorio has the Lady Indian soccer team rolling. And the first pitch in for the left-hander Riley Reen is a ball, count 1-0. Kane fires in. This ball swung on and driven into right field. It'll get down, and it'll be a leadoff single for Riley Reen.
That's one of those swings where the pitch is on the outside part of the plate. He's looking to go the other way. He doesn't try to do too much with it. He just sort of throws the bat head out there. And the right fielder playing a little bit more deep has that ball drop right in front of him. And if I didn't mention it, Corin Carroll is the goal scorer for St. Vincent.
There's a pickoff play over at first. The ball gets away from the first baseman, and Reen will advance to second base on a throwing error. So now a runner in scoring position with no outs. This is the exact same scenario that the Indians faced last inning.
And another update. Wow, the scores just keep coming in here. Jared Jones for West County, grand slam. Fourth inning, 9-0 West County over Portageville.
Can't wait to hear the call from either Greg or Sean on that one. This ball gets away from the catcher, and guess what? Reen over to third base.
Hurting themselves with a bad pickoff move, and then ball just scooting away. Riley Reen running back for St. Vincent. You know he's got the speed to get over there, and he heads up play, does so.
So Blake Hinneman takes a 1-0 pitch in for a strike, but for one pitch, you get two bases for Reen, so that's not too bad.
And Blake Hinneman's got that size where he puts just enough bat on the ball, and he can send that into center field and score the run.
That seam fastball with a little movement, it fooled Hinneman that time. He swung on and missed. The count now 1-2. A runner on third, no outs for Hinneman. St. Vincent looking to tie this game up. Count 1-2 for Hinneman, and here comes the pitch. This ball hit, chopped down to third base. There's going to be a play at home, and he is going to be out. And I got a question why Green decided to run there when it was chopped down to third base like that, but nonetheless, he is out, but that saves a run for the Bulldogs, and Blake Hinneman able to reach first base.
Especially with nobody out, Kevin. That's kind of a big no-no. That's baseball 101. Ground ball to third base, nobody out, you're on third base. Do not run. Just don't do it. It's not wise. And then he didn't even try to touch home plate. He just tried to jump into the catcher and I guess maybe knock the ball loose and then try to touch home plate, but just an all-around not a good decision from Marine.
So this brings up Tyler Unterreiner. He had a double in the second inning with a runner on first and one out. Yeah, it almost looked like Reen went for a chest kick, kind of jumped up and was like kicked him in the chest. That was a nice little karate move, a little Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And this is definitely going to relax the South Pemiscot defense more without that runner at third.
The 1-0 pitch down and away for a ball. Yeah, it's just hard, Matt, because you feel like you were given a gift. You got a throwing error, allowed you to get the second. The ball got away from the catcher. You got over to third. You should have just stayed put. But it is what it is, and the Indians will look to produce. And the 2-0 pitch in for a strike. That was a tough one. That ball was high and inside.
It was definitely both of those, but still caught enough of the strike zone to the umpire. But that is an unhittable pitch no matter who's at the plate.
So a 2-1 pitch. As Kane kicks, fires this ball low. In for a ball count 3-1. It almost looks like a slider. He's having a hard time locating. The ball is getting down and away from him. So a 3-1 count for Tyler Unterreiner. A runner on first, one out. St. Vincent trails by a run. This pitch away. And it's going to bounce off the helmet of the catcher. But nonetheless, that will be a walk. So now runners on first and second with one out. So there's still a chance, especially when you bring up Ethan PQ.
Yeah, Ethan PQ provides a lot of confidence in this order for St. Vincent. Hit his third home run of the season on Monday against Van Far. Really blew that game wide open. A chance to do so here.
And he had a double in the second inning. That was a weird pickoff move, and the ball gets thrown away. However, Hinneman does not take it away, does not take the base. The ball gets into center field, but it was a hard thrown ball, so it went right to the center fielder. Probably would have been a tough play for him to get over to third anyways.
And for a second, it was 20-2. Scoreboard had it 20-2 St. Nice. Vincent. I'm sure St. Vincent would love for it to be that score.
So here comes the pitch to PQ. This ball outside, a check swing. The ball gets away from the catcher. There's going to be a play down on third. Hinneman, and he's going to be in, and he's going to be safe, diving head first. So Davis having a little trouble behind the plate, Kane with those sliders. And that pitch, though, was in for a strike for PQ. They went ahead and called it a strike on the check swing. But now a runner on second and third, one out. St. Vincent looking to take advantage of this opportunity.
You're starting to see the hitters, though, for St. Vincent reading that curveball by check swing. To me, that tells me that he got a good read on the ball just a little bit late.
This ball for PQ hit down to third base line, and another base running error for Hinneman, and he's going to be caught in a pickle, and the play's going to be down. He's running, throw to home. Hinneman running back. He's going to be chased down by the pitcher, Kane. Another run, probably cost by St. Vincent on a base running mistake as Hinneman is caught down and out in a pickle. Now runners on first and second.
And if the folks at home will give us a chance to divvy that one up, that is a 5-2. Put out.
I was told math was not required for this job. So now a runner on first and second with two outs for Mitchell Double R in this ball. In for a strike. That late movement on the ball is hard to read. Double R steps out of the box, shakes his head. He did not agree with that call. Count 0-1. The 0-1 pitch. Another slider, curve, whatever you call that pitch with that late break, but that's in for a strike. Double R talking to himself. I think he's a little mad about that one. He probably should have took a hack at it. Runners on first and second. An 0-2 count, two outs for South Pemiscot. As Kane kicks, fires this ball. Slapped down towards third base, and it's going to go foul.
The other thing that was maybe a little disconcerting for Coach Search is that Unterreiner at second base, when a guy gets in a rundown between third and home, you've got to understand that they're going to focus on the runner between third and home. They're not going to really focus on you. And so by the time he thought he was going to decide to go to third, by that time the left fielder had come in to cover the bag, so there was no chance that he could do it with the catcher being so close to Hinneman in the rundown. So they've pretty much run themselves out of a run here in this inning.
Double R calls time. Steps back into the box. Kane checks second base. High leg kick. Fires in. This ball up towards the hands. It's slapped foul, and it will be out of play into the bleachers. Luckily, no one was hit by the baseball. A little bit injured. Fan tosses the ball back over the backstop. Count remains 0-2. Yeah, Matt, I marked on my score sheet, you know, depending how this game turns out, that you're going to look to having two runners start out on third base going home. That's going to be probably the difference in the game if it stays the same, including the stolen home base by South Pemiscot.
Wouldn't that be weird if that's the game-winning run, a steal of home?
So here comes the 0-2 pitch, curveball in, slapped away up to the pitcher. It's going to get over the pitcher's head, and there will not be a play at first, or will there be? No, the ball gets away, and here comes a run. One run will come in, and PQ gets over to third, and Double R gets over to second. He reaches on an error, and we are tied at 2-2.
That should go down as an infield hit and a throwing error on the shortstop, Damesworth. Just snuck underneath the first base glove of Goff, and just like that, St. Vincent, after running themselves out of a run with nobody out and two men on third, or nobody out with a man on third and then one out with a man on third, they hit themselves into an RBI there.
So that brings up Evan Clifton, the seven-hole hitter. He had a strikeout in the second inning. He now has a runner on second and third with two outs.
And I do take that back. That will not be an RBI for Double R because the run was scored after the throwing error.
That is correct. That ball in for a strike. Count now 0-2 for Clifton. And this ball slapped down third base. Another curve ball high about chest level. But with this umpire strike zone, Matt, you got to swing if it's in the area because the umpire is going to make you swing. It's as simple as that.
He certainly is. And that zone has been a little bit wide. By the way, Evan Clifton was the guy that scored the last run of the game on Monday.
There you go. Look at Matt Greenwood there, keeping a nice score sheet from the last game. Count now 0-2. Here comes the pitch. Swung on. Hit down to third base, and it's going to get by the shortstop. It's going to be a run. Here comes the second run. There'll be a play at the plate. No, there won't be. And St. Vincent is going to take a 4-2 lead on a 2-RBI double from Evan Clifton.
Put the ball where they ain't is sometimes a phrase that coaches will use for the batter with runners in scoring position. Just hit the ball, hit it away from defenders. Clifton was able to do that, and he gets those two RBIs, and that'll go down as a single, and then advancing on the wild throw home from the left fielder, Burton.
So two RBI single for Clifton, and that will bring up Garrett Double R. That ball low, but in for a strike. Double R gets out, shakes his head. He's not happy with that call. Nonetheless, you got a runner on second, two outs. St. Vincent scored three runs in the inning so far. This pitch, outside corner, in for a strike. And, man, that ball was pretty outside from my judgment. This umpire, he's got a wide strike zone, but you got to know that. You got to start swinging. Count 0-2, runner on second, two outs. Kane kicks, fires. This ball hit down towards shortstop. It's going to be picked up and thrown over to first, and that will end the inning. But not before St. Vincent takes a two-run lead, scoring three runs in the bottom of the third. We'll head to the top of the fourth on AM 800 KREI.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come CES and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck. Because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Welcome back to AM 800 KREI state quarterfinal baseball action. St. Vincent taking on South Pemiscot, and St. Vincent came back. And Matt, you were just talking off air between the breaks that the first two batters for St. Vincent, the first two batters became the first two base runners. Both got thrown out running from third to home, yet St. Vincent able to drive the next three runners across to take a 4-2 lead. Even though there are mistakes, you still like the ability to be able to bounce back and still come through and score an extra three runs.
Yeah, you certainly do. And we have seen a few strange things in this game so far. The steal of home with a right-handed pitcher on the mound, that doesn't make any sense. As you mentioned, two guys at third base, or one each time, and they both get themselves thrown out. And you still get three runs, and you're leading 4-2. None of this is making sense. It really is not.
One of those weird games, both teams making mistakes and probably led to most of the runs so far. 4-2 St. Vincent leads as they huddle up on the mound. Munier still out there pitching for the Indians. And up to bat is a weird number in baseball, Matt. You don't see this often. Number 73, Kevin Burton. Burton flew out to third in the second inning. Up for the second time here in the top of the fourth. The first pitch in for Munier is in for a strike. That ball was pretty far inside, but at least the umpire is consistent. It looks like he wants to get out of here early. He's a little cold. So an 0-1 count as Munier leg kicks, fires in. That ball in the outside corner in for a strike. Burton yet to swing. Two straight strikes. Here comes the pitch from Munier. Curveball popped up into the air. Well, and oh, Garrett Double R dove head first towards the backstop looking to make a catch, but it bounces out of his glove. That was a tough ball to track. I feel like the wind kind of moved that ball around in the air.
It may have, but also it didn't last in the air very long either. So not a lot of time for Double R to react, locate, and chase after it. He found it very late, and he made a great effort. He really did, as you mentioned, going head first towards that backstop up the third base line. But we'll see if Burton takes advantage of this opportunity to get on with two strikes.
The 0-2 pitch down and away into the dirt. Count 1-2 for Burton. Be interesting to see if Munier comes back with that curveball. Leg kick, fires. Fastball driven out of play behind the backstop over the heads of everyone. And the count remains 1-2.
We want to thank Main Street Signs in Perryville, Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve and Ludington, Jay's Auto Body and Sales in Perryville, and Bloomsdale Bank in St. Genevieve for sponsoring this game.
1-2 curveball on the outside. Count now 2-2. We are even. I'd like to see Munoz here. Just throw strikes. You have an 0-2 count. Let your defense do the work. Here comes a 2-2 pitch. That ball was close, but it was around the chest on the inside corner. And now we are full. So here comes Munoz, leg kick, 3-2 pitch, fires. Strike, swing, and a miss. Strikeout for Munoz. And Burton goes down, and that brings up Jacob Davis, his second strikeout of the game for Munoz.
Curveball, curveball, curveball. Then again, another curveball. Fastball. There's no way Burton was catching up with that one. Second strikeout of the game for Munoz on the mound.
Also good for Munoz. The Bulldogs, last two innings, had a leadoff runner reach base. This time, not so much with one out. And the first pitch in for a strike to Jacob Davis. He flew out to center field in the second inning. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. This ball swung on and missed. Count 0-2 for the second straight batter.
Davis almost hit himself on the hand on that swing through. A little late movement from that fastball from Munoz. Something we haven't seen a lot of. His fastball is kind of straightforward. But there it got in on the hands, and Davis almost swung his left hand right into the baseball.
Matt, the way he's acting, I think it did hit him on the knuckles. And of note, he's not wearing baseball gloves, so that's going to hurt just a little more, especially on a chillier day. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. High fastball, count 1-2.
And the sun is coming out a little bit, but still quite a few gray clouds in the sky. White clouds as well. It's a nice mixture here.
The 1-2 pitch. Outside corner, swung on a miss. It's in the dirt, picked up. Throw down to first, and it's going to get away from the first baseman, a throwing error from the catcher, and Davis is going to be able to reach second base on a strikeout nonetheless.
Sometimes what you'll see at the major league level is on a drop third strike, the catcher will take about 3 or 4 steps inside the first base line to give themselves an easier angle to first base. Double R didn't take that approach, instead try to throw from behind the runner on the same line. And it just didn't work out for him.
That could be a difference maker as Ryan Russell is up to bat, the 9-hole hitter who was hit by a pitch in the first inning. He fouls off the first pitch into the backstop. And as soon as that happened, Double R looked over at the dugout, and you just saw the coaches do the double hand motion down, saying, just calm down. You know, he tried to throw it over a little too gingerly. He should have just reared back and just thrown a nice, clean ball. However, the ball got away from the first baseman. So a runner on second, one out, 0-1 count, outside ball. Count 1-1.
It's really not that bad of a situation. Runner at second and a 2-run lead. You get that pop up or ground out to the left side of the infield, and that guy will have to stay at second base.
Outside corner ball. Count 2-1. But in reverse, when you look at it from St. Vincent's point of view, it should have been 2 strikeouts, 2 outs with no one on, instead of 1 out and a runner in scoring position. So we'll be able to see if St. Vincent will be able to hold. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. This ball in for a strike, but it's fouled off. Back out of play into the wheat field.
By the way, good news coming from Perryville. 1-0 St. Vincent in the first half. 6 minutes to go.
St. Vincent girls soccer team in state quarterfinal action, as well as the baseball team. A curveball in for a strike, fouled off. Count 2-2. So we're starting to see Munoz, Matt, being able to keep these batters off balance with that curveball. I don't think he tried that much in the second inning, but he came back third and fourth trying to keep them off balance, keep their weight on their back foot.
He was more attacking the zone with those fastballs, and that's what Pemiscott was able to jump on.
Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Curveball in, popped up down the first baseline. Hinneman trying to track it down in foul territory, and he drops it. It's out of his glove. I don't think that will go down as an error. That was a really tough play. He was running backwards, trying to catch it over his head.
Yeah, he never got positioned underneath the ball. He was constantly on the move. He never camped underneath it. So, yeah, that should not go down as an error. Now a late courtesy runner coming into the game for South Pemiscott. Coming in to run for Jacob Davis is number 32, and that is Jaden Trammell, who is usually a pitcher or outfielder for Coach House and the Bulldogs.
So 2-2 count, one out, runner on second. This ball high, almost hit him in the head, and we have another full count. Even though that would have been a tough play down first, I feel like it was a makeable play. And if he would have secured that strikeout, catch that ball, you're out of the inning. Instead, you got one out, a full count, and a runner on second base in scoring position. Here comes a 3-2 pitch and four strike. And this ball hit deep into left field, and it is off the wall. And one run will come in, Trammell, the pitch runner, and that will be an RBI stand-up double for the nine-hole hitter, Ryan Russell.
Should have never been at second base, as we've alluded to. But then again, he was at second base, and you've got to be able to buckle down and get those outs. But give Russell some credit. He certainly drove that baseball right into that left field gap. There's no chance for anyone to get to it. And we've got ourselves a ball game still, just a 4-3 lead for St. Vincent.
That is right. St. Vincent still has the lead, but South Pemiscot still has a runner on second with one out. As we said, both teams making mistakes and both teams able to capitalize off those mistakes so far. 4-3 lead for St. Vincent as we are to the top of the order. This is Riley Kane. He struck out in the first and had a double and stole home in the third. This pitch swung on, out of play, fouled off, count 0-1.
And Munier's pitch count is going to start rising to a point where Coach Search is going to have to look for other options. And a couple of those options could be Blake Henneman, Colby Hager, or Matt Klein.
The 0-1 pitch. And swung on, drilled into right field. A bat flip from Kane. And this ball off the fence again. And one run will come in. And a second consecutive stand-up RBI double for South Pemiscot. And we are tied at 4 apiece.
Riley Kane doing all the dirty work on the mound, keeping it a close game, and then delivering with that high fastball up around the eyes. A perfect position and spot for Riley Kane to just drive it wherever he wanted to. He pulled the hands in quickly and sent it into right center field. Again, no chance for the outfielders to catch up to that one. And we're really seeing both teams effective with their 9-1 hitters.
Coach Tyler Search comes out to the mound. He's talking to everyone. I think he's just trying to calm the team down and say, look, we can score more runs. We can be in this, but let's not dig ourselves a bigger hole, and let's try to get out of here. But it's still only one out and a runner on second. The third consecutive batter has reached second base with one out.
And Coach Search has talked about throughout the season that they get into their own heads and they start making mental errors instead of physical ones. And sometimes it's a combination of the two. And Coach Search has had enough with Munier. He's going to bring on a new pitcher, and we're just going to have to tell you about him when we come back.
That is right. We are all tied up 4 apiece in the state quarterfinal action, Class 2 from Bishop Field in Steele, Missouri, South Pemiscot High School on AM 800 KREI.
To put your business out in front with great-looking signs, banners, and vehicle advertising, call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
Signs say so much about your business. To give that perfect first impression with a great sign, call Main Street Signs today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
Welcome back to AM 800 KREI State quarterfinal action as St. Vincent has a pitching change after South Pemiscot drives home two runs so far, and we are tied at 4 apiece. Coming in to pitch is Riley Reen from center field, and Munier will head out to center field. And Matt, what do you know about Riley Reen on the mound?
Well, we know that he has a little sample size, only 5 1/3 innings pitched this season, a 2.63 ERA to go in that 5 1/3, 5 walks and 6 strikeouts. So, again, the theme for some of these pitchers for St. Vincent is the walk-to-strikeout ratio, or strikeout-to-walkout ratio.
Now pitching for St.
Vincent. It's almost 1-1 for a lot of these pitchers. And that's going to hurt you as you run deeper into the playoffs. And again, St. Vincent, they didn't start district tournaments, 15-3. They came in at 7-10. So there were obviously some things they needed to work out. And so far these playoffs, they've done that. But we're starting to see a little bit of that 7-10 team come out instead of the 11-10 team.
Reen, a left-hander, he's going to give South Pemiscot a different look as far as arm angle and pitches. And right now, St. Vincent putting themselves on the ropes. They came into this inning with a 4-2 lead. However, Jacob Davis able to reach on a strikeout to second base on a throwing error from the catcher. And then he is ended up driven home by Ryan Russell with an RBI double. And Russell driven home by Riley Kane with an RBI double, who on second base, and there's one out, a new pitcher, Riley Reen, for the second hole hitter, Logan Damesworth, who is 0-2 on the day. First pitch in for a strike, and kind of a weird Riley Reen, a huge follow-through, kind of fell away from the mound a little bit.
A little bit. He was at least 5-6 feet away from the mound towards third base.
Trying to be nice, Matt. 0-1 count for Damesworth as Reen leg kicks, fires, fastball. This ball poked on, foul ball. He was trying to lay down a bunt and advance the runner over to third, but now two strikes, the bunt's taken away. Damesworth not happy, slaps the barrel of the bat. He knew he could have had that one.
And just a strategical curiosity for me, you bring on the lefty Reen to face a right-handed hitting Damesworth, who was 0-2 against a right-handed pitching Munier, yet you leave Munier in to face the left-handed hitting Riley Kane instead of bringing in Reen to get Kane out.
Swung on, foul tip, caught by the catcher. Damesworth is out. A strikeout for Riley Reen as Damesworth hits his bat into the dirt, and that brings up Colton McCullough. And, Matt, I just got to assume that Coach Search saw something in Munier that he didn't like or feels like the team need a change of pace.
No, I get the change. It's just one batter after. It's, I mean, one batter after you're facing a lefty. You could have brought in the lefty to face the lefty, but it is what it is.
So an interesting scenario just kind of played out there where Riley Kane almost took off stealing. He practically did. He got halfway down the line. You hear the crowd saying, look at second, look at second. And he turned around, but Kane got back in time. They could have had a chance there. But nonetheless, there's two outs in the inning, a runner on second base, and Reed is facing McCullough. This pitch on the outside corner. And you saw it again, Reen. He kind of has that, likes to step away from the mound after he throws. He doesn't seem to throw too hard, but he's trying to locate it.
By the way, if Reen is able to retire McCullough by strikeout, that would be the fourth strikeout of the inning.
That's pretty impressive, especially after giving up two runs. Reen, lefty-on-lefty action this fall. This ball lifted into right field, and it is going to fall into the gap, and Kane's going to come home and score, and that will be an RBI single for Colton McCullough, and South Pemiscot will take a 5-4 lead.
Back and forth we go. This is what you want to see in the state quarterfinals. You want to see up and down action. One team taking the lead, the other one taking it right back. Pemiscot with a three spot here in the top of the fourth inning. And McCullough just took that breaking pitch, hit it high in the air with the defense playing deep in right field, anticipating the power from McCullough. That's why he was able to drop in about 3 feet in front of the right fielder.
That brings in DJ Jones, the cleanup hitter, who takes a big cut on the first swing and misses. DJ Jones has two singles so far in this game, two for two, a single to right field and a single to center field. A runner on first with two outs. St. Vincent looking to get out of the inning after surrendering three runs. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. This ball slapped down to third base. Two hops picked up, thrown over to first. 4-3, and St. Vincent will get out of the inning, but not before surrendering three runs as South Pemiscot takes a 5-4 lead in the Class 2 state quarterfinals on AM 800 KREI. Matt Greenwood with the call up next.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Kohl's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a 5-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Kohl's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint.
Kohl's Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
The Class 2 state quarterfinal action here on AM 800 KREI as South Pemiscot drives home three runs in the top of the fourth, takes a 5-4 lead over the home team, St. Vincent. We want to thank Cole's Tractor and Equipment out of Farmington, Citizens Electric out of Perryville, and Missouri Alliance Mutual out of St. Genevieve for their support of playoff baseball on AM 800 KREI. Up to bat is the 9-hole Matt Klein for St. Vincent, and the first ball is on the outside corner. It's a little high, but it's in for a strike.
Key thing here for Riley Kane is get ahead of these hitters. Don't put any on. Don't try to throw too far inside, like right there, and hit a batter and put him on.
I think Klein was able to jump out of the way. It was going straight for his pinky toe, but he wanted no problem with that. I don't blame him. Klein, he grounded out in the second inning. And the 1-1 pitch is swung on and missed, a low ball. Klein would really like to have that one back to count now, 1-2. The 1-2 pitch from Kane, kicks, fires, fastball, hit right back towards Kane, scoops it up, runs over to first, underhand toss, and he is out.
Fairly simple play right there for Riley Kane. The most difficult part of that is fielding the ball after making a pitch like that. A fastball getting upstairs above the letters to Klein. He liked it. He just got a little bit behind it. He was a little late with it, and that's why he grounded it right back up the middle to the pitcher, Kane.
So that brings up the top of the order. Here's Tyler Munier, the once pitcher, now center fielder, takes the first pitch outside for a ball. Munier 0 for 2 on the day, a ground out to second, and out on a fielder's choice. And that ball in for a strike, and you could hear the pop of the glove on that one. Kane is reeling back, and he's throwing some heat. A 1-1 count with one out for Tyler Munier. Kane kicks, fires. That late movement on the ball caused a foul ball there. Munier saw the fastball. He swung, and the late movement caused it to hit off the bottom of the bat, bottom of the barrel, and the count now 1-2.
We've seen a lot of guys roll over on that late breaking slider slash curve slash hard curve, whatever you want to call it. And it's because they're looking fastball. That's what they're doing.
The 1-2 pitch swung on and missed, and a strikeout for Kane. And that is his third strikeout of the game. Two down for St. Vincent, two up, two down. And that brings up the second hole, Riley Reen.
And Kane is seeing what we just talked about. They're chasing that fastball. Why not throw the curveball?
Well, that, and he knows he's got a wider strike zone, so he's willing to throw it outside and see if they'll hit him. This first pitch, curveball in for a ball, low.
Batting is the pitcher, Riley Reen.
Reen, the now pitcher for St. Vincent, count 1-0, two outs. Here comes the 1-0 pitch, swung on and missed, the exact same pitch, and the count 1-1. So now you're seeing, Matt, like you just alluded to, that St. Vincent has kind of grown a little bit impatient, kind of taking some swings that they probably shouldn't have. That curveball in for a strike beautifully on the inside corner. That ball nearly unhittable.
He is feeling it right now. And if I'm Riley Reen, I'm looking for that curveball again. The thing about Reen as he calls time there is he has his right foot out towards the third baseman with his left foot dragging behind. And so he's obviously looking for those outside pitches, those outside fastballs. And Kane's just beating him inside with curves.
Kane's wasting no time here. He's ready to go. That ball outside corner, that is a ball. But as soon as Reen steps into the box, Kane's ready to go. He's not messing around here. He's in the zone. And here comes a 2-2 pitch from Reen. Fastball swung on and missed. It's in the dirt. He'll be picked up, throw down to first, and he'll be out. And that's three up, three down for St. Vincent. South Pemiscot remains ahead, 5-4. And this time, I promise, Matt Greenwood coming up on AM 800 KREI.
10,000 square foot state-of-the-art facility, factory-trained ASE and ICAR certified technicians, PPG certified windshield repair and replacement, paintless dent removal. Hi, this is Brad Wooten from the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body. Why should you choose us for your collision repair and automotive glass needs? We are a direct repair facility chosen by major insurance companies. We are an Automotive Service Excellence Award winner, a Customer Service and Customer Satisfaction Award winner, a Business of the Year Award winner, and have been chosen by the Better Business Bureau as an accredited business. We also feature loaner cars on site for your convenience and a written lifetime warranty. The award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body across from Ozarks Regional Library in the beautiful Arcadia Valley.
Matt Greenwood for... Matt Greenwood for AM800 KREI. The score is 5-4, South Penobscot. And we are now in the top of the fifth inning. Riley Reen back out there for some more work. He replaced Tyler Munier, who wound up going 3 1/3 innings, giving up 5 runs, 4 of them earned, and had 3 strikeouts. Not a great stat line for Munier. He struggled with the fastball command late on in the innings. His curveball was there. He started to lay it in a little bit more, but his fastball is what Penobscot was looking for, and well, they did some damage, to say the least. 5-4 is the score. Coming up first for South Penobscot is Keith Guyton. He'll be followed by Chandler Goff in the on-deck circle. And in the hole, it is the number 7 hitter, Kevin Burton. We started out this game with overcast skies, a very strong wind, and very, very cool temperatures. The cool temperatures have stuck around. The strong wind is now a breeze, and the overcast skies have opened up a little bit. We got some blue to left and straightaway center with some gray and white clouds off towards right field. Here is Keith Guyton, the right-handed hitter, against the lefty Riley Reen. First pitch coming through, fastball, hit straight back to us. We are situated directly behind home plate. There's a good 20, 25 feet behind the dish and the fence protecting us here. That ball was ricocheted off the pole that is to the right of us, right in front of us. No balls and one strike to Guyton. And a breaking ball comes inside, hits him on the elbow, and Guyton will trot to first base. Two pitches into the top of the fifth, and Reen has hit a batter. Second one for St. Vincent pitching. The last one to get hit was Ryan Russell, and he scored a run in the third inning. Runner at first now for the South Penobscot Bulldogs. And Chandler Goff, who is 1-for-2 on the day, has a man at first and nobody out. Reen, one look. And only one look at first. Now he tosses to first. The throw down from Hinneman to second base. And it is to the left of the bag. Sliding in head first with a stolen base is Keith Guyton. And the base running has been fantastic for South Penobscot. Back in the third inning, if you missed it, Riley Kane with Munier on the mound was at third base. Kane stole home. So stealing bags. South Penobscot is good at that. That's their second stolen base of the ball game. Pitch on the way to Goff upstairs. A little change up from Reen. And the count, 1 ball and no strikes. Sun shining on all of the infield and outfielders. A little shade coming out from the third base dugout towards the mound. Not quite making it all the way there. Reen with a quick glance back at second base. Throws one off the top of the glove of Garrett Double R, and over to third base goes Keith Guyton. That'll go down as a pass ball. It was right there on the mitt on the inside part of the plate, belled high, and Double R could not control it. And so Chandler Goff is ahead in the count. 2 balls, no strikes with a man at third, and still nobody out. South Penobscot looking to extend their one-run lead. Pitch inside, breaking ball, no. We're near the zone. 3 balls and no strikes with Kevin Burton on deck.
Be interesting, Matt, to see if they're going to steal home again. I'd be really excited to see if they can do it a second time.
This would make a little more sense with the lefty on the mound. Doesn't have that peripheral vision towards third base. Again, the unorthodox stolen base with a right-handed pitcher back in that third inning. A little speed taken off that high fastball from Reen. He thought he found the upper part of the strike zone. Home plate umpire Larry Fike disagreed. That is ball 4. And it's runners at the corners for South Penobscot. Top of the fifth inning with a one-run lead and still nobody out for Kevin Burton.
It looks like they're going to come out and talk to Reen. He's having a little trouble with his location. All they want is for him to throw strikes. That's all you ask for your relief pitchers. It's just throw strikes and let the defense do the work.
Another update from Athletic Director for St. Vincent, Bruce Valeroy. The Indians are up 2-0 in the second half, thanks to Abby Buckeye putting the Indians up 2-0 against Maplewood in the Class 1 Girls Soccer State Playoffs. Winner moves on to play Trinity or Principia. First pitch to Burton. He squares around and bunts it foul off the top of the batting cage netting over here on the first base side.
And I've known, Matt, I'm pretty sure I was told, I'd have to double check, but I was pretty sure I was told that if St. Vincent girls soccer, if they advance, that regional radio will be covering them as they go on forward for a state championship.
Wind blowing from left to right field as Reen settles the ball in the glove, chest high, and delivers the 0-1. This one fouled straight back. And a little mound of dirt in front of the fence. Well, that ball hit right off the top of the mound of dirt. And so we got a little dirty over here. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I got some on me and on my paper.
Well, I'm pristinely clean, Matt. Look good. No dirt on me.
No balls, two strikes. Reen looking for a strikeout here with Jacob Davis on deck and runners at the corners. Nobody out. The 0-2 on its way. In the dirt, good block from Double R. 1-2, the count.
Guyton down at third, he faked me out. He looked like he was taking off running, going for home, and I kind of stood up a little bit getting excited, and then he didn't go.
Reen gets set with the 1-2 to the right-handed hitting Burton. Kicks, fires, fastball outside part of the zone, and that is strike three. Kevin Burton, exasperated by the call, turned around, looked for a friendly face, couldn't find one. Headed back towards the dugout.
I think that's because he looked right at you, Matt.
I think he did. I'm not going to call balls and strikes. I'm just going to call the game here.
Well, I was saying a friendly face. But, yeah, that ball, that was no different than the walk ball from Chandler Goff. So the fourth ball there. So a little inconsistency, I feel, on the strike zone on that one. That was a tough call, but nonetheless, a strikeout looking for Reen, his second strikeout.
Jacob Davis also has a strikeout to add to the arsenal or to the bat total. Time is called as the catcher, Garrett Double R, giving instructions to the infield. Still with runners at the corners for South Pemiscot. Might be looking at a steal of second base here with Goff at first.
I feel like with Guyton down at third, you don't really want to mess with the runner at second base. He looks pretty fast.
Turning around to bunt and then pulling it back and taking a fastball on the outside corner is Davis. Dancing off of first was Goff. He goes back, and it's one ball, one strike with Ryan Russell on deck.
They might try a suicide squeeze here again. As I mentioned before, Guyton, he looks like a speedy guy down on third base. He could probably score if they laid down a bunt, and here we go.
Squaring around again, pulling back once more. This time the ball misses above the letters. Two balls and one strike, and it would be pretty neat if South Pemiscot could manufacture a run here by a suicide.
Well, Reen needs to know as well if that a bunt is laid down. He needs to get that ball and throw it towards home.
2-1 on its way. Reen misses outside to the right-handed hitting Davis. Three balls and one strike. Reen one pitch away from walking the bases loaded for the number nine hitter.
Davis barely got that bat back in time. That was close. He pulled it back really quickly, stepped across home plate as he was leaning into it.
Ryan Russell, not your typical number nine hitter today, at least. Hit by a pitch, scored a run, doubled the left field with an RBI, scored a run. 3-1, he squares around again, gets the bunt down this time, hard to first base. Hinneman comes in, play at the plate, no, the throw not in time. Double R turns around, fires to third, no one covering the bag. Chasing down the runner was Double R, Mitchell Double R. He couldn't apply the tag in time. 6-4, South Pemiscot here in the top of the fifth.
Yeah, you would like to see with the way that bunt was laid down for Hinneman just to take the out at first. He didn't really stand a chance at home plate. But smart base running from Goff. He never stopped running. I was watching him. He never stopped. Didn't even look. He just went and went and went. And he was able to reach third base. So now the runners on the corners in St. Vincent finding themselves on the ropes here in the state quarterfinals.
And now Jaden Trammell will come in to run for the catcher Davis over at first base. It remains runners at the corners and one out for Ryan Russell. As mentioned, Russell hit by a pitch in the third, doubled the left field, scoring a run in the fourth. Damage control is what St. Vincent's looking for right here. Another bunt. This one popped up. Coming off the mound, Reen, he'll run the runner back to third. Flips it over to Mitchell, double R. The tag is applied on Goff, and that will end the inning. South Pemiscot gets a run, 6-4. The lead for the Bulldogs will head to the bottom of the fifth inning. Coming up for St. Vincent, Blake Henneman, Tyler Unterreiner, Ethan PQ, 3-4 and 5 in the order. Next on AM 800, KREI.
Business owners rejoice. The secret to advertising is out. Yes, that's right. To find out more, log on to MainStreetSigns.com.
Gonna get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
A sign that works great may be the most important ingredient to your company's success. Call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at MainStreetSigns.com.
You gotta get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
Matt Greenwood and Kevin Hughes. We are in Steele, Missouri, where the weather has turned out to be quite beautiful. Overcast skies to begin it. Still some gray clouds out towards the outfield, but some white fluffy ones too, and some blue skies as well, as the wind continues to be pretty consistent, about 5 to 10 miles an hour. We are pitched under a tent behind home plate, set up alongside a few more tables as well. Good spot for us to be in. Not so much for the St. Vincent Indians as they trail 6-4 in the bottom of the fifth inning. As mentioned, going to break Blake Henneman to lead things off. Henneman is officially 0-for-2 today.
So it's going to be important here for St. Vincent. They found most of their success today and in the last game when they get runners on bases. They need to get some runners on bases and make things happen.
First pitch curveball from Kane. He's got that curveball, hard slider working very well this evening. No balls and one strike to Henneman. Next pitch, fouled off. Chopper over the fence down that third base side.
I don't think Kane throws a ball that doesn't have a little movement on it, Matt.
Makes you wonder if he ever gets blisters, how much action he's trying to put on every pitch. 0-2, fastball, chin music there. Maybe a little ringing in the ears for Henneman. One ball and two strikes.
Always like to joke and say, yeah, lean it in, take one for the team, but not to the face.
No, definitely not to the face. Henneman did take quite a trip around the bases in the third inning. As the 1-2 comes around, he'll foul tip it back towards the backstop. He reached on a fielder's choice on a 5-2 putout at home plate. And then he went to second base after a walk was delivered to Tyler Unterreiner. Then he reached third on a pass ball and then got himself caught in a rundown. A 5-2 putout by the catcher. 1-2 pitch. Curveball hangs a little bit. Grounded to third. Coming across and firing is Russell in time to Goff. And Henneman is out number one here in the bottom of the fifth.
Earlier on in the game, St. Vincent was able to get those ground balls into the gaps and right up the middle in between shortstop and third base. But as of late, they're just hitting it right to the fielder.
Tyler Unterreiner is coming up next for St. Vincent. Two home runs and 13 RBIs on the season heading into the state playoffs. First pitch to him, misses. One ball and no strikes. Unterreiner 3-for-4 with two RBI in that 15-5 sectional win against Van Far. The 1-0 from Kane. Fastball catching the outer third to the right-handed hitting Unterreiner. He kind of glanced back to the umpire, a little half turn.
I'm telling you, this umpire, he wants to get home soon. If that ball is anywhere close, you better be swinging on it.
Off-speed pitch doesn't break in time. Misses on the inside part of the plate. Two balls and one strike. Quickly, Kane delivers another curveball. This one hangs over the middle part of the plate, and it's grounded right back up the middle for a base hit for Tyler Unterreiner. One on and one out for St. Vincent as they trail 6-4 in the bottom of the fifth.
And that is the key for St. Vincent. I talked to head coach Tyler Search before the game, and he says when you put the ball in play, good things happen. That's what happened there, and that brings up the big man, Ethan PQ.
Your favorite player, certainly, Ethan PQ, a three-run shot in that 15-5 victory over Van Far. If he puts one over the fence here, it's a tie ball game. First pitch out in front of that curveball. Maybe hunting that fastball. Missed big time.
He swung like he wanted to put it over the fence. That was a big cut. Hand came off the bat.
A glance at first for Kane. Settles the glove below the waist. And here's one driven into deep left field. Outfielders are going to give chase. That one's going to get down and over the fence. Ethan Piekiew, Mr. Clutch, comes through with a two-run jack. And St. Vincent has tied this one up at 6-6 in the fifth. PQ, what a stud. Two-run shot to deep left field. We were just talking about his power and his ability to drive in runs. And he does so there. And that's gonna take a hit on Kane's confidence throwing that off-speed pitch.
It is a game changer. Kane was completely in control of this game. St. Vincent could not hit him. And on the second swing, it is at bat. PQ just crushed that ball past the scoreboard. For the second consecutive game, PQ comes up big for St. Vincent with a huge home run, and a timely home run, Matt. The key there is timely.
Mitchell double R, how do you follow that one up? He's going to have to do his best to just try to get on. Pitch on the way, missing low.
They actually called that a strike. That was a low ball, but man, a late break sent that ball down. The catcher had to reach down to grab that ball, but it was called a strike.
0-1, now 0-2. About the same location there.
Yeah, that ball's below the knees, Matt. But look, if you know it's going to get called, you got to swing. St. Vincent knows by now the strike zone that this umpire has, and it's wide. It's high, it's low, and it's outside. It's a huge strike zone. You got to swing.
Almost makes you wonder if they're just looking for that one pitch. They don't care if they fall behind in the count. As a fastball, a little overthrown by Riley Kane. One ball, two strikes. One out. In the fifth inning, 6-6 ball game. Slow chopper in the hole short. Coming across and making a nice throw was Damesworth in time to retire double R for out number two.
Perfectly played by the shortstop, Damesworth. Caught it right on the second hop, right at his ankles and shins, and made a perfect play.
Damesworth looking good over at short, and also the number one pitcher, kind of the number one pitcher for South Pemiscot this year, and he'll be headed to Mineral Area College in Park Hills beginning in the fall of this year. Kind of wonder if he's going to be a shortstop or a pitcher as that first pitch to Clifton misses. The 1-0 quickly from Kane, right at the knees. One ball and one strike, Clifton. 1-for-2 with a single to left field, drove in two runs in this game. Curveball hung up and fouled straight back. One ball and two strikes. And Bruce Valeroy, St. Vincent Athletic Director and boys basketball coach, just sent me two text messages, Faith Kapp and Callie Seaball, with goals for the St. Vincent girls soccer team. They lead 4-0 in the state quarterfinals. Strikeout is called on Evan Clifton. So we've got some good baseball for the next two innings at least. We'll head to the top of the sixth. 6-6 is the score. Coming up, South Pemiscot on AM 800 KREI.
Citizens Electric would like to wish the St. Vincent's Indians the best of luck. We would also like to ask our members to be energy conservationists. When you enroll in PowerShift, you prevent the need to burn additional fossil fuels during times of high demand. As an extra bonus, you could be eligible for up to $75 in savings each year you participate. Learn more at cecmo.com. Go SV Indians!
To put your business out in front with great-looking signs, banners, and vehicle advertising, call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
Signs say so much about your business. To give that perfect first impression with a great sign, call Main Street Signs today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
We're your official government weather reporting station, the voice of Missouri's Parkland, AM 800 KREI, Farmington, Ironton, the Arcadia Valley.
6-6 the ball game. where have you been? This has been a really good one. If you haven't been with us, back and forth we went between South Pemiscot and St. Vincent. You just missed a two-run home run from Ethan Pique to tie up this game at six apiece. St. Vincent was down 2-1, then up 4-2, then down 5-4, down 6-4, and now squared up at 6-6. And it's back to the top of the order for South Pemiscot with Riley Kane leading things off this inning.
Sorry, man. I was just going to say, I don't think you can underestimate or undervalue how important PQ has been in these last two games with those home runs. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You don't want to say one player single-handedly is carrying those team, but when those home runs were hit, I mean, Kane was in control, and PQ came back and ties the game instantly.
Lefty on lefty here, Reen versus Kane. Kane the batter, high fastball. Kane with two doubles, both to left field. He's also scored two runs and driven in one. His first run that was scored, he stole home.
Beautiful play.
It is when it works. 1-0 inside, fisted off to the left by Kane.
Did you ever steal home in your career, Matt?
No.
Yeah. Well,
of course, I only played 5 years of Little League Baseball. I wasn't very fast, so there was never a chance of that happening.
Well, that's a shame.
Thanks for making me feel worse. 1-1 on the way to Kane in the dirt. Bounces up off the chest protector. Good block from Garrett Double R. You know, that it's about the perfect time for a catcher to get work on blocking pitches in the dirt when no one's on base.
That's true. I played 11 years of baseball, Matt. I probably had like two stolen bases in my entire career, so don't feel too bad.
2-1. Double R setting up outside. The pitch is upstairs instead. And behind in the count to Kane is Riley Reen. Three balls and one strike. You just get the big two-run home run in the bottom of the fifth inning. Can ill afford to put the leadoff batter on as they did the last time South Pemiscot put runs on the scoreboard.
And we already know Kane has a lot of speed, so you do not want to get him on base.
3-1 on the way from Reen. Fastball outside edge, called strike two. Seaball, Callie Seaball, her second goal of the game. 5-0. St. Vincent over Maplewood in the girls' soccer Class 1 state quarterfinals. 21 minutes left. I think that one's wrapped up.
Safe
for sure
to say we could punch their ticket to the Final Four of the St. Vincent girls'
line
basketball.
Drive base hit to right field for Riley Kane. Third consecutive hit for the pitcher. And he's on first base with nobody out in the top of the sixth.
Now batting the shortstop,
man, he is good.
He is good, and he is fast. Anyone that can steal home is A-plus in my book.
And before the game, as a matter of fact, yesterday, Coach Howell's telling me that he's getting looked at by about four or five different universities, hasn't decided which one, didn't disclose which ones were looking at him, but whoever he decides to go to, from what we've seen so far today, they're getting a heck of a ball player and a very smart one, too, as Logan Damesworth puts the bunt down, coming off the mound. Reen, a high throw to Henneman, but that's okay because Henneman's really tall. And now rounding second is Kane. He's going to be caught in a rundown. From second to third, chasing him over is Mitchell Double R. He'll flip it to the shortstop. The shortstop will track him down. A ball in the right hand of, actually that's Klein, the second baseman. The ball is in his right hand as he applied a tag to the falling Riley Kane. And that's the first blunder that Kane has had all game long.
And he was not happy about that. He took off his helmet, threw it in the ground, and then punched the ground. And you saw a giant dust cloud pop up. A huge mistake for South Pemiscot, but that's a game for St. Vincent. And now they have two outs in the inning.
That'll go down as a 3-6-5-4 put out for Riley Kane. Now it's nobody on, two outs for Colton McCullough, the left-handed power hitter. Watches one in the dirt for a ball. McCullough 1-for-3 with an RBI after a single to right field in that three-run fourth inning.
You're starting to feel St. Vincent. I feel like even after they tied it, they didn't really seize momentum, but that play could be a game changer.
And it's happened in consecutive innings. Reen with a slow delivery in that fastball. Watch out, Kevin. Or watch out equipment. That was, without a fence, that's coming right into our kitchen.
That is true. And notice me, I wasn't trying to protect you.
And I wasn't
moving
either.
It's a free-for-all here.
Picking up the loose baseball, DJ Jones, the on-deck circle. He'll just take it back with him. Two balls and no strikes to the left-handed hitting McCullough. Garrett Double R setting up right down the middle, now moves to the outside part of the zone. The pitch is back down inside in the dirt. Three balls and no strikes. Reen, again, a small sample size this year, 5 1/3 innings the entire season coming into this contest. Blake Hinneman over at first base has thrown 23 2/3 innings, so maybe we'll see Blake come into the game if Reen continues to struggle with the command. The slow delivery again from the lefty. Another one in the dirt. Four straight balls to Colton McCullough. And he'll make way for the cleanup hitter, number one, DJ Jones.
It's got to be frustrating for the coaching staff of St. Vincent having this wide of a strike zone and throwing four straight balls. You just got to get the ball close to the plate. It's going to be called.
DJ Jones, 2 for 3. Single to right, single to center, and a ground out to second base. He got in that bat in the second, third, and fourth inning. Now here in the top of the sixth, he's late on a fastball, gets away from Garrett Double R. He'll chase it up the third baseline. No advance at first from McCullough.
We don't know what type of speed McCullough has, but that would have been a tough play for both teams. It would have been a close one. The ball bounces out of the glove of Double R.
Just like Monday between St. Vincent and Van Faar, an excellent crowd on hand. Blue and yellow to our right. Black and white to our left. Off-speed pitch backs DJ Jones away from the dish. Reen missing well inside. Evens up the count at one apiece.
Every time we look, Matt, it looks like the crowd gets bigger and bigger.
Another update from Greg Armbruster and Sean Malone. West County 11, Portageville 3. Rain delay, top of the sixth inning, but West County is in charge. The 1-1 fastball upstairs. Jones thought about it, pulled back, and is ahead in the count. Two balls and one strike.
Hopefully that rain stays up north from us and we continue this beautiful weather. There's a big rain cloud. Looks like it's going to come over the field shortly. But so far, so good from Bishop Field.
2-1 on the way from Reen. A little change up inside edge to the right-handed hitting Jones. Two balls, two strikes with two outs and one man on for South Pemiscot in a 6-6 ball game.
I don't know if you saw it, but DJ Jones gave the umpire a legit five-second stare down. Just stared at him. He would not like that one. But that's what I said. Just get the ball close.
And we have a music interruption. An accidental click of one button, whichever the play button is on those Windows laptops.
It's when you just stand up and scream, it wasn't me.
2-2, ready from Reen to Jones. Delivers, fastball upstairs, popped up into shallow right field. First going back, coming in, settling underneath it is Unterreiner. And DJ Jones, frustrated with himself, slams a helmet as he rounded first base. The inning is over. And we'll head to the bottom of the sixth. 6-6 ball game. St. Vincent will try to take the lead for the second time today. They'll do so with Garrett Double R, Matt Klein, and Tyler Moonier trying to make it happen next on AM 800 KREI.
The choice of an insurance company is an important one. You want someone to provide you with the best policy, with the best price, and the best service a company possibly can. Welcome home to Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Hi, I'm Kim Fisher.
And I'm Chris Schamberg. Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company provides you with the best policy, the best price, and the best service we possibly can.
We are and will continue to be a hometown company with hometown values, servicing insurance needs in Perry County, St. Genevieve County, and in the surrounding areas.
You're at home with Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Call our offices today in Perryville at 573-547-6633 or in St. Genevieve at 883-3520 or online at moalllianceins.com.
Matt Greenwood and Kevin Hughes with you at Steele, Missouri. Two and a half hours south of Farmington, about 30 to 35 minutes south of Portageville, where West County has an 11-3 lead over the Bulldogs. They're in the top of the sixth on J98 in a rain delay. The score here is 6-6. The inning is the bottom of the sixth. And the batter is Garrett Double R, righty on righty. Kane still out on the mound, even after surrendering that two-run home run to Ethan Pequeue in the fifth. delivers a fastball right over the heart of the plate for strike one. Double R, 0 for 1, hit by a pitch in his first at-bat, grounded out to short in his second one. A little late running action back to the inside part of the plate, grounder to second base from Double R, and an easy flip from Guyton to retire Double R for out number one.
So far the key for both teams is just getting a runner on base. Doesn't matter how many. If you just get someone on base, both teams are letting the runners advance and making things happen.
Next up is Klein, and he pulls one on the ground foul up the first base side. No balls and one strike. And as Kevin mentioned, there is a big, massive gray, dark gray cloud over beyond left field. Let's hope that one stays away from us. The 0-1 is in the dirt and gets past the catcher Davis to the backstop, but nobody on, so no worries.
It looks like after PQ hit that home run, Matt, St. Vincent becoming more aggressive at the plate. I think they feel a little more confident.
Another pitch inside to the lefty Klein. One ball and two strikes. Klein has kind of disappeared with that offensive production like he had on Monday, where he went 3-for-4 with two RBIs and two runs scored. Gets a little piece of this one, and we'll put it up and over the fence on the third base side and out of play. Still one ball and two strikes. Tyler Munier, the leadoff batter, on deck. The 1-2 from the righty Kane, and poking it down the left field line. And well foul is Klein, staying alive.
It's a great job by Klein. You'd never know where this umpire is going to call a strike, so if it's close, just try to put a bat on the ball. At least stay alive.
Kane wasting no time. 1-2, pulled down. First base side, fair. And Goff will take it himself. Just a few steps to his left. Two up, two down quickly for St. Vincent in the bottom of the sixth. It is getting a little bit darker as that big dark cloud over near left field starts to make its way in our direction.
You feel the wind pick up a little bit. The temperature has kind of dropped by a few degrees.
This might be the cloud that dropped some rain over in Portageville. Who knows? First pitch, curveball to Munier, in there for a strike. Munier is 0-for-3 with a strikeout today. 0-for-6 the last two games. Puts this one into shallow right field, coming on late, and will make the catch on the run. Heron for out number three. Easiest inning for Riley Kane since the first when he went 3-up, 3-down. Same here in the bottom of the sixth. We'll head to the top of the seventh inning. Who's going to take charge in this one? The Bulldogs of South Temiscott will try to do that with Guyton, Goff, and Burton next on AM 800 KREI.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Kohl's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a 5-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Kohl's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint.
Kohl's Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Your time is precious. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, you can quickly check balances, make payments, transfer funds, and more. All from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Which leaves you with more time to do the things you want. Manage your money with your fingertips with online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank. Connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We are into the top of the seventh inning, and the score is 6-6 between St. Vincent and South Temiscott. 5, 6, and 7 coming up for the Bulldogs. Keith Guyton, Chandler Goff, and Kevin Burton. And we'll see if they can get through the top of the seventh before this massive rain cloud decides to dump some water on us. Riley Rehm back out there on the mound for his fourth inning of work. He replaced Tyler Munier after 3 1/3.
We want to thank our sponsors, Brad Wooden Auto Body in Ironton, New Era Bank in Farmington, Mineral Area College at Park Hills, and Unico Bank in Potosi, DeLosian, Irondale for their sponsorship of St. Vincent Baseball.
Guyton is ready in the box. Reen takes one last look at the baseball, puts it in the glove. Puts the glove right up in his face. Kicks and fires. First pitch swing and a miss for Guyton.
And you can probably hear, Matt, I think everyone out there can hear, but that big cloud bringing in some wind with it could change the dynamic here if the ball's put in the air.
It is a swirling wind for sure. Blowing out towards right field, but also coming back to the third base as well. Off-speed pitch missing upstairs and inside to the right-handed hitting Guyton. One ball and one strike. On deck is Chandler Goff. That is G-O-F-F, like the former quarterback for the University of California, Jared Goff. Another changeup missing just inside and just high. Two balls and one strike.
I'll go out on a limb and say they're probably not related.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you have to go too far out on that limb. Two balls and one strike. The pitch on the way. Again, slightly missing upstairs. We've seen a lot of high strikes called by home plate umpire Larry Fike, but that one a little too high, and it's three balls and one strike, and St. Vincent pitching continues to struggle with the leadoff batter in every inning.
That ball was close.
Reen getting ready once more. Kicks and fires a 3-1. Fastball, this one is belt high. And on the outer third, three balls and two strikes.
The South Pemiscot hitters, they are not happy with this strike zone, but it's been the same all game. You got to swing if it's close.
Same. It's the same for both teams.
Yeah, it's been consistently wide.
3-2, big pitch coming from Reen. You don't want to put the leadoff batter on. Pitch on the way. This one fouled straight back off the top of the fence behind home plate. Stays three balls and two strikes. The on-deck circle Goff trotting over to pick up the loose ball.
And you can feel the intensity in the crowd pick up. They know it's do or die time, at least for South Pemiscot. This could be their last chance at bat as St. Vincent is the home team, and they will get the last crack of the bats.
And they'll also do it with close to the middle of the order coming up. 3-2, swing and a miss, changeup upstairs, and down goes Guyton. One out in the top of the seventh, score still 6-6.
You're starting to see a little more confidence from Reen too, Matt. I feel like he's throwing more strikes, has better command of his pitches. He's rearing back and he's throwing the ball as hard as he's thrown all day.
Third strikeout of the contest for Reen, coming on in relief of Tyler Munier after three and a third innings from the starter Munier. Fastball misses high and outside to the right-handed hitting Goff, and it's one ball and no strikes. On deck is Kevin Burton, no one on, and one out, top of the seventh inning. We got some dark clouds behind us too, so it looks like it's going to come all the way around and settle above us. Let's hope not.
An ominous tone it's setting.
Yeah, tell that to the fans. So fastball missing upstairs. Two balls and no strikes. A check swing of Peel down to first base. And going east and west with the arms is the first base umpire.
The St. Vincent faithful are not happy with that call. They thought he swung.
330 down the left in the right field lines and 390 to straightaway center field. PQ's home run was in between 330 and 390. Foul tip on a cut from a changeup upstairs, two balls and one strike, and either that's a slower fastball or a changeup from Riley Reen. Either way, guys can't hit it. Reen puts the ball in the glove. Creeping in at third is Double R. Pitch down the middle, strike two.
Yeah, Mikola steps out of the box, shakes his head. He thought that ball was a little bit outside. But Reen throwing strikes, that's what they need from Reen, is just sit back and throw strikes.
And we've yet to see the field lights come on. It is getting a little bit darker here. Line drive up the middle to the shortstop, just to the left of the bag at second base. He fires across. Clifton with a good throw to retire Goff by two steps. Two outs, nobody on, top of the seventh inning for Kevin Burton.
Great footwork by Clifton. Matt just shuffled over, was able to get the ball, bend down slightly, pick up the ball from below his waist, and fire it over. A nice throw over to first base.
I can say this and not be hesitant about it, but the middle infield defense for St. Vincent is excellent. Klein over at second base, always making the right play. Kevin Burton, the batter, backs away from the plate as the lefty Reen misses low and inside. One ball and no strikes to Burton, who is 0 for 3 with two strikeouts. Not the best game for him.
He was completely frustrated last inning when he wasn't able to get a hit. He did not like the strike zone call, so we'll see if he's able to keep his emotions in check and rebound.
1-0 in the dirt away from Burton. Burton sporting the number 73 this evening. Ahead in the count, two balls and no strikes. Winner to move on to the semifinals.
Matt, looks like he's wearing pink socks. Got to give him credit for that. Hot pink socks.
Like it. 2-0 from Reen. Upstairs, just missing. Three balls and no strikes.
Reen did not like that call. He squatted down immediately when that wasn't called a strike. And I can kind of understand his frustration because that upper outside corner for right-handed hitters has kind of been a little wobbly all day. It's hard to tell which one's a strike and which one isn't.
Three balls, no strikes to Burton. No one on, two outs, top of the seven, tie ball game. And the pitch is on the outside third for a called strike.
The key now for St. Vincent with two outs is just don't help South Pemiscot. Farine, just throw a strike. Let the defense do the work. Let's get out of the inning and try to take your chances in the bottom of the seventh.
Green with a slow wind delivers a 3-1 down the middle for called strike two.
Green, look at, he's pointing to his infielders. He's saying, get ready. He's feeling the confidence. St. Vincent clapping, and Matt, it looks like some raindrops are starting to fall here.
Let's hope it stays away, but the wind is certainly picking up and the clouds are rolling through. The 3-2 from Reen, and that is nowhere close. Back to Burton away from the plate, and he'll draw a two-out walk. So a runner at first for South Pemiscot. The batter is going to be Jacob Davis. Davis is 0 for 3, but has scored a run. And the reason why, he struck out, reached on a throwing error by double R in the fourth inning, came around to score on the double to left field by by Ryan Russell. Fastball missing high and inside to Davis. One ball and no strikes. 5-0 final score. St. Vincent girls soccer defeating Maplewood to move on to the state semifinals. That game will be next week, the 31st, at 4 o'clock. Congrats to the St. Vincent girls soccer team in Class 1.
Reen's starting to struggle here. He's having a little trouble locating the ball. Just throw strikes, Reen.
Fastball upstairs. Two balls and no strikes. Davis has been with the mindset of swinging early. He hasn't done so as Reen struggles with his location. The 2-0. Fastball nowhere close above the letters. Three balls and no strikes.
Man, you don't want to put two players on when you have two outs with two back-to-back walks. That is not going to be good.
And Davis is the number 8 hitter in the order. Reen with the hair sticking out of the cap. Time is called. Bushy Blonde. Maybe that should be his nickname.
Think of, what's his name, Tanner from the Bad News Bears, the little kid with the blonde hair.
There you go. And he's wearing yellow, so it's very fitting.
There you go. Look at me. I'm a genius.
Three balls, no strikes to Davis, the right-hander versus the lefty Reen. The 3-0. Nowhere close. Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. That changeup on the outer third called a strike. Some late action there and a delayed call from the home plate umpire. 3-1.
I don't know, that ball looked a little outside to me, but nonetheless, it's a wide strike zone.
Some would call that a little league strike right there. Right at the knees, maybe a little bit lower. But Reen, happy to be back in the count, 3-1. Another changeup outside, called a strike. And even the on-deck circle, Ryan Russell, drops its head. Three balls, two strikes, runner at first. Top of the seventh, 6-6 ball game. South Pemiscot at the dish looking to break the tie. Riley Reen wants to keep it there for the bottom half of the seventh inning with the middle part of the order coming up. 3-2 pitch on the way. Runner goes. swing and a foul tip off the top of the chest protector of Garrett Double R. And Davis fights for another pitch.
He must have barely nicked that ball. That was close, but it makes sense why it got away from Garrett Double R in his glove.
Fans are still in it. They don't care if it's going to drop into the 40s tonight. They're ready to see something dramatic happen. At first, Burton. The batter, Davis. Burton takes off. Fastball missing above the shoulders. Ball four. Back-to-back walks for Riley Reen, and Coach Search might have to make a replacement here. He'll come out to the mound along with the infield, and usually assistant coach Corey Sauer will come out if he's just going to calm things down. It's usually Coach Search whenever there's going to be a pitching change.
Here comes a courtesy runner, number 32, into the game, and that is Jaden Trammell. I believe he's making a second appearance so far as a courtesy runner in this game.
Third appearance.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, third appearance. Had to count that. Each time Davis has been on, Trammell has been there to replace him. And we do have a new pitcher on the mound. We're going to let you know who it is. The situation, top of the seventh inning. South Pemiscot, 6. St. Vincent, 6. The Bulldogs have two men on, first and second, with two outs. Ryan Russell, the number 9 hitter, will be at the dish. He has scored 2 runs today and has an RBI double to the left field. That's our situation. When we come back, we'll let you know who the new pitcher is for the St. Vincent Indians when we return on AM 800 KREI.
Jay's Auto Body and Sales in Perryville is your number one dealer for the best in pre-owned vehicles in Southeast Missouri. Specializing in finding the right vehicle for you, come see them for your auto body needs. They're a preferred shop for several insurance companies. Jay's will handle it for you with their great staff that will handle all your auto body needs. Give them a call, 573-547-7884, or visit them at 401 South Kings Highway. Jay's Auto Body and Sales is proud to sponsor local sports teams and congratulates them for all their dedication and hard work. Come get your fix at Jay's Auto Body and Sales in Perryville. Maryville.
It was 1963.
And Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fleeg's Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart. Because at Fleeg's Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleeg's Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleeg's Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Ledington Exit, or online 24/7, Fleegs.com.
Fleeg's Equipment, let our family serve your family.
First and second base for the South Pemiscot Bulldogs. The new pitcher is Evan Clifton. As he moves over from the shortstop position, Riley Reen will head that direction. The batter is Ryan Russell. He'll hack at the first pitch and foul it off the fence up the first base side. No balls and one strike.
That ball had a late break on it, Matt. That's something they weren't able to see from Reen at the plate. So a little movement on the ball may switch things up here. The important thing is any base gets an out and gets you out of this inning.
0-1 on the way from Clifton. Fastball outer third to the right-handed hitting Russell. No balls and two strikes.
Tough movement on that pitch. It looked like it was going to go outside, and it cut right back in at the last second.
Winner to the state semis in O'Fallon, Missouri. Just a little north of St. Louis. Setting up outside, Double R. The pitch back to the inside part of the plate and fouled off by Russell. Remains no balls and two strikes.
Back into the wheat field. Happy hunting for whoever wants that ball. The wheat about, I would say, about knee high on me, and I'm about 6'3".
A look at second for Clifton. Fastball above the shoulders. One ball now and two strikes. Riley Reen was able to get the first two guys out by way of strikeout and ground out to short, but he walked Burton and then walked Davis. They're at first and second. The 1-2 from Clifton popped up. Shallow left field coming forward, squeezing the glove on it for out number 3 is Lappy. And we're going to head to the bottom of the seventh inning. If the rain can hold off for just another 15 minutes, might just give St. Vincent a chance to win it in the bottom half. It's 6-6. Riley Reen, Blake Henneman, Tyler Unterreiner for the Indians will try to get the job done when we return on AM 800 KREI.
Hi, Paul Hale at Nuera Bank. Has your bank made avoiding fees on your checking account difficult? Nuera Bank wants to make your life simpler, and we think it should start with your checking account. At Nuera Bank, we still offer a free checking account with paper statements. No minimum balances, no other requirements. Visit any of our locations in Fredericktown, Farmington, Park Hills, Deloge, or Bon Terre, or our website at www.nuerabank.com for more information. Nuera Bank, member FDIC.
Get anytime access with Unico Bank's 24-hour banking service. All you need is a touch-tone phone. You can check your current loan balances, check on your last loan payments, get the due date of your next loan payment, transfer funds between accounts current time, as well as check out your account balance. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including holidays. It is easy to use. To find out more, stop at a Unico Bank near you in Potosi, Irondale, or Deloge, or unicobank.com. Unico Bank, homegrown, locally owned, locally operated. For you.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come see us and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck, because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Matt Greenwood and Kevin Hughes with you in Steele, Missouri, home of the South Pemiscot Bulldogs. The score, 6-6. St. Vincent won the coin flip at the outset of the game and got home field advantage on the road. Playoff high school baseball for you. Colton McCullough is onto the mound for South Pemiscot, replacing Riley Kane, who had to exit this game after reaching the pitch limit of 105 pitches. New MSHA rules say a junior or senior, once they get to 105, they have to be pulled. And now Coach House going over some changes with Tyler Search, head coach for the St. Vincent Indians. And it's an interesting change because McCullough was the DH, and now he's not. And I think we're about to get hit really hard with this rain. It is super windy now. Gray clouds covering the entire field. Behind us, on top of us, and beyond us in the outfield. The batter is Riley Reen. He'll try to send St. Vincent to the semis. If he can put one over the fence, he'll square around. Fastball missing outside from McCullough. Reen takes it for a ball. Reen one for three with two strikeouts. And a single to right field. Fastball missing outside. Two balls and no strikes. Righty on lefty here. Kicks, fires. McCullough, fastball inside edge for a strike.
And Matt, it has cooled off quite significantly here. The wind blowing around 20 miles per hour at its peak gust.
The 2-1 on the way from McCullough. Reen pops up the bunt up the third baseline. It will spin into foul ground.
It was a good idea. Wasn't the best execution. If the ball was on the ground, he's got speed. He had a chance to beat out the throw, but that ball popped in the air and then rolled out of bounds.
2-2 the count. Reen, in a full sprint down that first baseline, has to trot back, and waiting there holding the baseball bat is Davis, the catcher. He'll hand it off to Reen. Two balls, two strikes. St. Vincent, a run here in the bottom of the seventh to break the 6-6 tie, would send them on to the Class 2 state semifinals. Reen takes a practice cut, the 2-2. Puts a curveball into shallow left field, coming on strong, and it will bounce over the shortstop in front of the left fielder, Burton. And that's a base hit for Riley Reen.
The old Texas leaguer.
Blake Henneman coming up. Tough decision for Coach Search. Power hitter at the plate. with a runner at first. Do you square around, move him up to second base, and put him in position for Tyler Unterreiner, or do you let the big man swing away?
There's going to be, I think, a shift, a defensive shift. Something's going on.
I think a couple of people are turning their headlights on their cars, and the umpires are saying, no, do not do that. Turn them off. There's still one that is on. The second base umpire going out there to get their attention. And the headlights flickered off and then back on.
Looks like now that back car off. Is leaving.
Oh, he's leaving. Okay. Don't know why you just can't. He might have one of those cars, as we just saw lightning.
Yep.
And that's actually going to stop the game now.
Yep.
Rain is okay. Drizzle, sprinkle, that's fine.
Oh, what a terrible
time. Lightning is not allowed, and there's the rumble of the thunder, and that means at least a 30-minute delay in the action here.
Tarps are coming out. People are leaving the bleachers, heading. Well, there's not really any place to go around here, probably back to the cars.
Back to the cars to turn the headlights on.
And now all the headlights are on in the outfield.
Yes, they are. The lights are on the field, and it looks like some rain is coming down on the field right now. You really hate that for this kind of game. Thankfully, we're under a tent today.
The tension palpable, though. I mean, what a terrible time. The bottom of the seventh, a tie ball game, a runner on first, no outs, and then we're going to stop and wait for a little bit.
McCullough, who came in relief of Riley Kane, had just thrown a few pitches. So there was no taxing of the arm for him as he threw six pitches to Reen and never got a chance to throw one against Henneman because of the headlights on in center field. Players for South Pemiscot have put the cover on home plate and on that big circle where home plate is, and also on the mound as well. They will not be able to protect the infield dirt or the outfield grass or the infield grass. Just the home plate region and the mound. So the situation, as Kevin pointed out, runner at first for St. Vincent. Bottom of the seventh inning, 6-6 ball game. Blake Henneman is at the dish. We are in a lightning delay, a minimum of 30 minutes. Every time a new lightning bolt strikes, another 30-minute delay. That lightning about 6:46, 6:47.
And, Matt, the rain is now pouring.
Yep, the rain is now coming down. So we're looking at possibly, depending on how much rain we get and how much lightning there is around, we're looking at possibly resuming this game about 7:20.
Judging by cloud cover, my non-meteorology but from Oklahoma degree, I would say probably, I mean, I think 30 minutes, this cloud will definitely pass on through.
Right. It's depends on how much rain it drops, but really it's the lightning. The lightning is a big no-no, and especially with these kids using aluminum bats, you're definitely going to call it off. So what we're going to do for you is we're going to step aside for a couple of minutes, and when we come back, for those of you that might be joining us late on the action, we're going to recap the first six and a half innings, and then we will see where we are with the lightning. We'll give you an update there, and if lightning continues and the rain continues, we will then go ahead and go back to regular programming until further notice. So we'll step aside for 1 minute. When we come back, we'll recap the game for you up until this bottom of the seventh inning. Next on AM 800 KREI.
To put your business out in front with great-looking signs, banners, and vehicle advertising, call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
Signs say so much about your business. To give that perfect first impression with a great sign, call Main Street Signs today or log on at mainstreetsigns.com.
Can I get on down to Main Street and get a new sign?
...10,000-square-foot state-of-the-art facility, factory-trained ASE and ICAR-certified technicians,
PPG certified windshield repair and replacement, paintless dent removal. Hi, this is Brad Wooten from the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body. Why should you choose us for your collision repair and automotive glass needs? We are a direct repair facility chosen by major insurance companies. We are an Automotive Service Excellence Award winner, a Customer Service and Customer Satisfaction Award winner, a Business of the Year Award winner, and have been chosen by the Better Business Bureau as an accredited business. We also feature loaner cars on site for your convenience and a written lifetime warranty. The award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body across from Ozarks Regional Library in the beautiful Arcadia Valley.
For now, yeah.
Matt Greenwood and Kevin Hughes on AM800KREI. Unfortunately, we have a stop in play between St. Vincent and South Penobscot because lightning and rain. Thank you so much for coming through. Not really. That is sarcasm there. The score is 6-6. St. Vincent won the coin toss. So even though they are on the road here in Still, Missouri, at South Penobscot High School, they are the home team. So they had a situation where Riley Reen dumped a ball into left field to get on base to put himself in a position to score the go-ahead run. Blake Henneman, the first baseman, was getting settled into the batter's box. Then a pair of headlights came on in center field from some vehicles that are parked out there. The umpires went out to ask them to turn them off. They did. Then we saw the lightning. Blake Henneman never got a chance to swing at a pitch from McCullough, who came in relief for Riley Kane. So we're sitting here. We're really, really cold. And it's a 6-6 ball game, but St. Vincent is just one run away from moving on to the Class 2 state semifinal. So the excitement is on pause, but the anticipation for the ending of this ball game is running really high.
Yeah, this rain pouring down. I mean, it's raining out here. I'll be honest, Matt, I'll be shocked if this game is finished today with how hard it's raining right now. If it blows on through here in a couple minutes, maybe, and I just heard it let up just a little bit, but that infield's going to be really, really, really wet here. And who knows? We'll see. But, yeah, you're right. The tension's building. You could feel it in the crowd. You just felt it in the air. That dark cloud came over. The lights come on the outfield. Just an ominous tone set. Like, here we go. Kind of like a puncher's fight. Just a good boxing match. One team strikes. Another one comes back with a hook. One comes with an uppercut. And we were all square. And now a runner on first base with this game called for at least another 15 to 20, 25 minutes or so.
It was 2-1 South Penobscot with the lead in the third inning when St. Vincent, in maybe one of the stranger innings that we've seen this season in baseball, twice St. Vincent had a runner at third and twice they got thrown out at home plate. One was a direct throw out at home plate. Reen got thrown out. The other one was a rundown where Blake Henneman got tagged out. However, even with that, two men at third being thrown out at home, still St. Vincent in that bottom of the third inning got three runs. How did that happen? Well, let's go ahead and tell you real fast for you. Tyler Unterreiner was on base after drawing a walk. He scored a run on the infield hit to short, and then the throwing error by the shortstop, Damesworth. Then coming to score on an RBI single to left field by Evan Clifton, a two-run single from Evan Clifton, scoring Ethan PQ and Mitchell double R, and then Garrett double R after Clifton drove in two with a single to left. Then double R grounded out to short to end the inning, but by then the damage was done, and it was 4-2, rather, St. Vincent with the lead. Then coming back for the top of the fourth inning, South Penobscot went to work offensively. First guy struck out. Second guy, Jacob Davis, also struck out. However, Jacob Davis reached first base on a drop third strike and a throwing error from the catcher, Garrett double R. Davis went over to second base. Ryan Russell came up, delivered a double into the left field gap. That scored Davis, made it a 4-3 ball game. The next batter, Riley Kane, the leadoff hitter, then also doubled to the left field gap. That scored Ryan Russell to make it a 4-4 ball game. Logan Damesworth struck out. Colton McCullough singled the right field to score Riley Kane to make it 5-4 South Pemiscot. The Bulldogs would add one more run on a fielder's choice first base ground out to the catcher. Guyton ended up scoring that run for South Pemiscot. It was Jacob Davis who reached on that fielder's choice. Basically, the play was ground ball to first base, and they went home with it, but not in time to get Guyton. Guyton scored. It was 6-4 South Pemiscot in after five innings, or actually after four and a half. Then in the bottom half of the fifth inning, in a 5-4 game, or excuse me, a 6-4 game, South Pemiscot with the lead. Blake Hinnom in for St. Vincent in the bottom of the fifth, grounded out to the third. Tyler Unterreiner singled up the middle with a slow ground ball through it. Then Ethan PQ, two home runs all season in 17 games, two home runs in five playoff games. A two-run home run from Ethan PQ deposited well over that left center field wall. Ball game tied at six apiece. Mitchell Double R would ground out to short. Evan Clifton would strike out looking. It remained 6-6 through the sixth. In the top of the seventh, in relief, it was Riley Reen. Riley Reen got the first two outs in the top of the seventh. Struck out Guyton, got Chandler Goff to ground out to short. And then Riley Reen walked Kevin Burton with two outs and no one on, walked Jacob Davis with two outs and one man on. Evan Clifton from the shortstop position, he'd played an excellent shortstop today. He comes in to replace Riley Reen and gets Ryan Russell, the number nine hitter, with two men on and two outs in the top of the seventh to fly out to shallow left field. So then we make our way to the bottom of the seventh. It was the sixth inning where we saw the dark cloud start to come through. We were kind of thinking, okay, this is about to get bad. And it has. We are in a lightning and rain delay right now. But Riley Reen, off of McCullough, singled the left field. And again, Blake Hinnom for St. Vincent was in the box, ready to go. Umpires got distracted by two vehicles with their headlights on. Umpires got those people to turn off their headlights. By the time they turned around, lightning strike. Delay. So Reen at first. Nobody out, bottom of the seventh, 6-6 ballgame. St. Vincent is the home team. A run in the bottom of the seventh inning will win them the game. They have their three and number four hitters at least due up when we get out of this lightning and rain delay. So we haven't seen any lightning bolts. Kevin shakes his head east and west, so I'm guessing he didn't see any.
No thunder either. And nope. When there's thunder, there's lightning.
Exactly. The clouds, the dark clouds that had positioned themselves over the left field fence have now moved on towards the right. As we turn our heads and look behind us, there's a little sunshine off to our left with some very light gray clouds and a lot of white clouds and a little bit of blue sky. If that rotates over this direction, this rain, with the clouds now in center, the dark clouds in center and right field should move off, and maybe we can get this game in.
The rain has let up quite significantly, Matt. It's now just kind of an annoying rain, not super hard, not light enough to be a mist, just kind of in between. And quite frankly, I think if this lasts for only about 15 more minutes or so, I think there is a chance we could get back and at least try to get through the inning nonetheless.
Certainly. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to regular programming for KREI. It is 7 o'clock. And what's going to happen is we're going to stay in contact with our producer back at the station. When we want to give an update, we'll let them know. We'll cut off the programming. We'll come back to us. And hopefully, the next time we come back to us, we will be resuming baseball activities. It is the Class 2 State Quarterfinal Round, St. Vincent, South Pemiscot, Indians versus Bulldogs, 6-6 ball game. Bottom of the seventh inning, St. Vincent has a runner at first and nobody out with Blake Hinnom at the dish. We'll step aside and go to regular programming for now.
at Greenwood, and Kevin Hughes back out at South Temescott High School. We lost power here, so we're going to continue this broadcast through the phone. And right now, Blake Henneman for St. Vincent with Riley Reen at first base in the bottom of the seventh inning. Grounded back to the pitcher, McCullough, who tossed to second for the force out. Reen is retired. Henneman reaching first base on a fielder's choice. And now there's a delay out beyond the mound right in front of second base. And Kevin says he's got a good view on it.
Yeah, Matt, I think Coach House out there is arguing that the runner tried to interfere with the shortstop that was crossing the bag, jumping over there. But I don't think that argument's going to go very far because it was a clean slide, but it did affect the throw at first, which is the whole point.
Coach House is still arguing that point. St. Vincent fans are hoping that interference eventually is not called. But Coach House is insistent that they change the call. So right now we're in a bit of another delay. This one not of Mother Nature's accord, but of Coach House's accord. It's runner at first base, Henneman, as it stands. One out in the bottom of the seventh inning. And the score is 6-6. And Coach House now finally walking away. And we will resume baseball activity. Tyler Unterreiner is coming up for St. Vincent. He has a double to right field, scored a run in the second. Walked and scored a run in the third. Singled to center and scored a run in the fifth. Tyler Unterreiner has been solid for Coach Search and the Indians. And now he'll take his cuts against McCullough. Colton McCullough, cool name there. McCullough settles the ball, ear high, delivers a fastball off the end of the mitt. One ball and no strikes. Colton is a righty. So is Unterreiner. Unterreiner with that power hitter stance leans a little bit over home plate. A slow glance at first from Colton McCullough. Now delivers. Fastball blown right past Tyler Unterreiner. That is some dirty heat from Colton McCullough. Search. Coach Search. Arms folded across at third base. Blake Henneman is at first. He reached on a fielder's choice. Ground out a 1-4 put out at second base. The 1-1. Ground ball back up the middle. And that one will get through into center field. Rounding second with a hard turn is Henneman. And he'll go into third base. And I beg your pardon, that is Hager sliding into third base. Runners at the corners for St. Vincent with one out. And Ethan PQ, who hit a two-run game-tying home run in the bottom of the fifth inning, has a chance to drive in the game-winning run and send St. Vincent on to the state semis. And Coach House says, no, thank you. We are going to pitch away from you. As a matter of fact, we're not going to pitch at all to you. And so an intentional walk has just been delivered to Ethan TQ. So now it's in the hands of Mitchell Double R. Base is loaded. Double R, can he drive in the go-ahead run? Infield coming in. Colby Hager is the go-ahead and game-winning run at third base. He replaced Henneman at first. The first pitch from McCullough. Fastball low and away. Ball one. On deck is Evan Clifton. There is one out in this inning. So if Double R is retired, Clifton will have a chance. Double R ahead in the count. Two balls and no strikes. You can be pretty sure he's going to be looking for a fastball down the middle. If not, he'll take it and hope for the best. The slow wind in the 2-0 from McCullough. Right down the middle. A little off-speed change up there. And he is back in the count. Two balls and one strike. Runner at third is Colby Hager. At second, it is Unterreiner. PQ at first. Fly ball. Deep right field. Over the head of the right fielder. Coming to trot home is Colby Hager and the St. Vincent Indians. Their magical run continues. They are on to the Class 2 state semis. They win it 7-6. And they dogpile between the mound and first base. And greeted by the roar of the Indian faithful, hugs all around. St. Vincent is moving on to the Final Four in O'Fallon, Missouri. Game-winning RBI Mitchell, double R. A few tears, a few laughs, and a few drips of sweat that will dry up certainly as the temperatures have warmed up and the St. Vincent Indians remain on fire. Five consecutive wins. They are heading on to the Class 2 Final Four. What a fantastic finish to this ball game. And we will go ahead and wrap up our coverage on AM 800 and KREI next. It's St. Vincent 7 and South Temescott 6. That is your ball game. We'll be back on AM 800 KREI.
It was 1963.
And Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fleeg's Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart. Because at Fleeg's Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleeg's Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleeg's Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Ledington Exit, or online 24/7, fleegs.com.
Fleeg's Equipment, let our family serve your family.
Business owners rejoice. The secret to advertising is out. Yes, that's right. To find out more, log on to MainStreetSigns.com.
Gotta get on down to Main Street and get a new sign.
A sign that works great may be the most important ingredient to your company's success. Call Main Street Signs in Perryville today or log on at MainStreetSigns.com.
You gotta get on down to Main Street.
Hi, Paul Hale at Nuera Bank. Has your bank made avoiding fees on your checking account difficult? Nuera Bank wants to make your life simpler, and we think it should start with your checking account. At Nuera Bank, we still offer a free checking account with paper statements. No minimum balances, no other requirements. Visit any of our locations in Fredericktown, Farmington, Park Hills, Deloge, or Bonterre, or our website at www.nuerabank.com for more information. Nuera Bank. Member FDIC.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come see us and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck. Because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Kohl's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a 5-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Kohl's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint.
Kohl's Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Citizens Electric would like to wish the St. Vincent's Indians the best of luck. We would also like to ask our members to be energy conservationists. When you enroll in PowerShift, you prevent the need to burn additional fossil fuels during times of high demand. As an extra bonus, you could be eligible for up to $75 in savings each year you participate. Learn more at CECMO.com. Go SV Indians!
Matt Greenwood and Kevin Hughes for AM800 KREI. The final score, St. Vincent 7, South Temescott 6. The St. Vincent Indians are headed to O'Fallon, Missouri in the Class 2 State Final 4. A dramatic game this afternoon. A seesaw battle that saw St. Vincent down 2-1, then up 4-2, then down 5-4, down 6-4. Ethan PQ, a two-run home run in the 6th, 6-6 ball game. Bottom of the 7th, still tied. Bases loaded. Mitchell double R up to the plate after PQ was given the intentional walk to load the bases. Double R hops on a 2-1 fastball and delivers it over the right fielder's head, Heron. It gets down, trotting home Colby Hager, who was the courtesy runner for Blake Henneman after Henneman reached on a fielder's choice ground out back to the pitcher. And Hager scores the game-winning run to send St. Vincent to the Class 2 Final Four. We had a lightning delay in the bottom of the 7th inning with rain to go with it. The sun came out, the clouds disappeared, but the light shining right on top of the St. Vincent Indians as they win this one 7-6. They have reeled off 5 consecutive wins, starting district tournament play with 7 wins and 10 losses. They're now 12-10, and again, they are on to the Class 2 state semifinals. Now, we are going to end the broadcast here. And what we're going to do for you is we're going to talk to Coach Search. We're going to send that interview in, and we will have it available for you on MIMOinfo.com and on this evening's 10 o'clock sports. So you don't want to miss that. I'm sure Coach Search is fired up, and he has every right to be. Let's go ahead and thank our sponsors one last time for sponsoring the St. Vincent baseball game for the Class 2 state semis. Main Street Signs in Perryville. Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve and Ludington. Jay's Auto Body and Sales in Perryville. Bloomsdale Bank in St. Genevieve. Cole's Tractor and Equipment in Farmington. Citizens Electric in Perryville. Missouri Alliance Mutual in St. Genevieve. Bradwin Auto Body in Ironton. New Era Bank in Farmington. Mineral Area College in Park Hills. And Unico Bank in Potosi, Deloge, and Irondale. Once again, our final score, St. Vincent 7 and South Temescott 6 in the bottom of the 7th inning. A walk-off RBI single from the number 6 hitter, Mitchell double R, scoring Colby Hager from third base. Our big thanks to Christian Cooper back in the KREI studios, to my broadcast partner, Kevin Hughes, signing off. From Steele, Missouri, Matt Greenwood for Regional Radio. Have a great night. So St. Vincent, they are going to have a fantastic night as they win it 7-6 to move on to the Class 2 state semis in baseball. You've been listening to coverage of high school baseball on AM 800 KREI.